logo appears in bold slanting letters over a blue planet in space. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Nighttime. In the pouring rain, lightning illuminates a view of German soldiers standing by a gutted building. Titles appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents a Catskalob production, filmed in Yugoslavia in collaboration with Avala Films Belgrade. German officers direct soldiers past tanks, trucks, and jeeps clogging a village crossroad. The men pass a tall post with arrow-shaped signs on it. One officer motions men on as steamy exhaust rises from an armored tank, its gun turret marked with a black and white cross insignia. Starring Clint Eastwood as Kelly, Telly Savalas as Big Joe, Don Rickles as Crap Game, Carol O'Connor as General Colt, and Donald Sutherland as Oddball. The German officer walks against the stream of oncoming soldiers. In the middle of the clogged road, three men sit inside an American Army Jeep marked with a white star on its hood. The men stare straight ahead. In the passenger seat, a mustached German colonel with wire-rimmed glasses sits motionless. An American soldier in the back presses the muzzle of a rifle to his head. Another title appears, Kelly's Heroes. In the driver's seat, a lean-faced American soldier in his 30s focuses his steely eyes ahead. More titles, Hal Buckley, David Hurst, Gavin McLeod, Ross Elliott, Len Lesser, Carl Otto Alberti. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service at WGBH. Described by Paula Broussard and Carrie Dennehy. Read by Miles Neff. Major funding provided by the U.S. Department of Education. A windshield wiper swings back and forth in front of the lean American who stares over the Jeep steering wheel. The roaming German officer locks gazes with him. As he draws a pistol, the American guns the Jeep and hits the German officer, who tumbles aside. The Jeep speeds along the narrow village road, crashes through a wooden fence, and races past smoldering, bombed-out buildings. More titles. The platoon in order of appearance. Richard Davalos, Stuart Mongland, Perry Lopez, Dee Pollard, Michael Clark, Gene Collins, Jeff Morris, Tom Truman, Dean Stanton, Dick Balduzzi, Fred Perlman, George Fargo. Reaching the village outskirts, the Jeep cruises toward a group of German soldiers huddled in rain gear around a mess tent. The vehicle tears through a puddle and splashes the Germans, who turn angrily. One man throws his bowl. In the Jeep, the American driver keeps his eyes on the windy road. More titles appear. Original music by Lalo Schifrin. Director of photography, Gabriel Figueroa. The Jeep halts at a crossroads, then heads to the right down a gravel path. Explosions fill the dark sky with sparks and smoke. On the road behind the Jeep, a fiery blast billows a brilliant orange and blue, then dissipates. More titles. Film editor, John Jimson. In charge of production, Basil Sommer. A production of The Warriors Company, a joint venture, copyright 1970 by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Production designer, Jonathan Berry. Special effects, Carly Baumgartner. Associate producer, Irving L. Leonard. Production manager, Terry Lenz. Stunt coordinator, Alf Joint. Now, the Jeep passes burning farm buildings and drives through a split rail fence. Makeup, Trevor Kroll Rees. Wardrobe, Anna Maria Feo. Set decorator, Mike Ford. Technical advisor, Major Alexander A.C. Geary. American soldiers in rain gear scurry around in the darkness, occasionally illuminated by exploding shells and lightning. The Jeep pulls up to a large thatched roof barn. On a nearby truck, machine gunners sit behind their weapons. Written by Troy Kennedy Martin. Produced by Gabriel Katzka and Sidney Beckerman. Directed by Brian G. Hutton.
Come on, Jim.
Right, Kelly.
The lean-faced Kelly leads the German colonel into the barn.
Let's be there for 2 hours. Now that's map section 3, not 4. I don't give a damn what command says about anything.
A burly sergeant speaks into a radio mic.
Look, Mulligan, I don't think I'm getting through to you. You're dropping your damn barrage on our position.
set the same.
You can't hear me. The reason you can't hear me is because they're firing your mortar at your end, and they're dropping here at our end. Now, the Krauts are not here. We're here. Mulligan, your bombs are coming down on our heads. I don't know where the Krauts are. Just lift your goddamn barrage. Over.
The sergeant throws the mic aside, puffs on a cigarette, and faces Kelly.
I thought I told you to bring me some good-looking kid, not this fat, sausage-chewing wino.
Well, if you were looking for a young boy, you should have sent somebody else, Joe.
Kelly picks up a coffee pot and a tin cup. He squints and hunches his shoulders as an explosion rattles dust from the rafters.
Mulligan, you son of a bitch.
Hey, Joe! It looks like they're trying to push up the canal.
Now, what do you want me to do about it, Pachuco? The half-track's been wiped out. Eddie's been hit.
Well, we'll go see what's happening, eh?
Grace! Jonesy, grab a lid and go with Corporal Job.
I'm a devil!
Curly-haired little Joe answers a radio call.
Hey, it's Mulligan.
It's Mulligan. What the hell does he want?
He says he's sorry.
Sorry, son.
Little Joe radios back.
Mulligan, Big Joe's a little upset right now. I think maybe you should leave town. Get out of the neighborhood. Right.
Does he speak English?
Yeah, he's a colonel in intelligence.
Yeah. Well, Colonel, it's a big noise with German intelligence. You ought to be able to tell us about Nancy, right?
Under the Geneva Conventions, you only...
Sit down! I'm not interested in defenses. I'm interested in hotels, okay? Are there any still standing?
There are three. Two are defended by units of the third...
And which is the most comfortable?
I don't know.
Hey, look. You got to think of us as tourists. I don't want any military information. I just want to know the best hotel, okay?
I think it is called the Majestic.
And who's the owner?
I can't remember his name.
All right, all right. Check the Michelin guide. Now, what about women?
Gentlemen, I must warn you, the German army is preparing a counterattack. Nancy...
Sit down. Look, we're not worried about the German army. We got enough troubles of our own. To the right, General Patton. To the left, the British army. To the rear, our own goddamn artillery. And besides all that, it's raining. And the only good thing to say about the weather, it keeps our air corps from blowing us all to hell because it's too lousy to fly. Verstehe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Joe pinches the colonel's cheek.
Now, what about the broads and Nancy?
What?
The women.
Yes, there is a house. I cannot give you the directions. I've never been there.
Hey, here it is. Nancy. Principal attractions, the Church of the Cordeliers tombs, woodwork and statues, City Hall, 18th century, with stairway and square reception room. Palace Stanislaus, impressive gates, Portery Museum of Lorraine, charged to see three...
Will you cut the culture crap and get to the hotels?
Majestic Hotel, 3 stars, a knife and a fork.
Beautiful. I think we're going to keep this guy until we get to Nancy. We can use him when we get to town.
Hey, Joe!
What do you want, Barbara?
Well, the captain wants to see you.
The captain. I'll be
right
with you.
What should I do, Joe?
Stay on the radio.
Joe, I think we ought to send him back for interrogation.
Hey, look, Kelly, nobody's copping out at
the prisoner.
What are these, Colonel?
Just my orders and letters of transport.
Fisher, what are you transporting?
Files.
What kind of files?
Clerical.
Clerical, huh? Mind telling me what you were doing in this area?
I needed petrol for my trucks. The bombing. Trucks won't move without petrol.
Kelly and the German flinch as dust falls from the ceiling.
What do you want, Kelly?
Interpret these for me, will you?
Kelly hands the files to a soldier, then unwraps an 8-inch gray metal bar.
What are these?
Lead bars.
Lead?
Yes, the bag was supposed to have been dropped in the water in case... of capture. Unfortunately, you surprised me.
All these papers are about some kind of convoy from France to Germany.
Kelly notices a scratch on the bar where a yellowish glint shows through.
Shipment of...
That's enough.
Thanks.
Kelly eyes the colonel, who casts his eyes downward.
Colonel? Come here, Colonel. Little Joe, give me that brandy, will you?
What for?
Just give me that brandy.
Gee, Kelly, what do you want to give away the good brandy to the crowd for?
This way, Colonel. Over here. Now sit down on this bench.
As the colonel sits, Kelly sets down the bottle, clears off a chair, and sits facing the German.
I want you to have a drink.
Under the Geneva Convention?
Oh, this isn't Geneva, Colonel. I just want to have a nice sociable talk with you, that's all.
Kelly fills a tin cup and hands it to the German.
Drink.
But I will not divulge any further information.
Drink.
Kelly helps the colonel lift the cup to his lips. Outside, Babber reaches to open a door.
Oh, idiot.
Big Joe stops him.
Come on, cover it.
Babber raises his rifle.
Big Joe?
Big Joe works his jaw, chewing on some gum. He warily eyes the door and cocks his rifle. Rain drips from his metal helmet.
Big Joe?
Yeah?
Big Joe.
A soldier swings the door open. Big Joe enters the dark room.
All right, where is he?
The sergeant finds a 50-foot yacht floating by an enclosed dock.
Captain? Yeah, who is it?
It's me, Big Joe. Where are you?
I'm in here.
The captain's inside the boat.
What are you doing there, sir?
I'm checking out the motor.
The motor? What for?
We're pulling out of this sector, and I want to see if this boat's worth taking back to the base.
What about Nancy?
Third Army's taking over. We go into reserve. When they take Nancy, we go back in the line.
Oh, wow, Captain. I don't think you have the welfare of your men at heart. Now, look. This is a big town with a lot of passionate broads, great restaurants, feather beds and rooms with hot water. Look, Captain. We've been rained on, pushed on, bombed on, mortared on by Mulligan all the way from the Normandy beachhead.
I'm aware of that problem, Sergeant.
I'm aware of that problem. You've been aware of that problem ever since we got out of the water at Omaha. Look, Captain, why is it that every time we get to a town like Nancy, it's these guys with the clean uniforms and the ties that get to ride into the trucks into town and make that pitch?
The general says we pull out, so we pull out. Oh,
Big Joe, Captain, follows the captain below deck.
Let him do this! I gotta get my men here some broads before they start freaking out with each other.
I'm aware that that situation might be developing, Sergeant. You think I could get this in the hold of a B-17?
We're point section to the whole damn army. Nancy's our town, Captain. Yeah!
Barbara says there's a company of Germans starting to push
up. I'll be back. I'll be with you in a minute. Captain! Hey, look, we got it all figured out. We even got a guide. All we have to do is get in there.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of German divisions around here that says you can.
All right, so we need a little help.
Sergeant, the only help I need is to get this yacht out of here. Now, you get back to the barn, and I'll get the engineers and do it myself.
Hey, look, Captain, you're supposed to be in charge of this outfit.
You're doing such a good job, Sergeant. Why should I get in your way?
Now, a soldier, Job, approaches two guys in a half-track.
Hey, cowboy! Got a report that three tanks are coming up the road. I suggest you get active.
Cowboy's friend plays a harmonica.
Hold her down there a bit, Willard. I think the corporal here's trying to tell us something.
Yes, sir. You tell me what?
I was saying that there are three tanks coming up the road. I suggest you get activated.
Oh, now, come on, pal. Ain't you got any Shermans? Well, we've been polishing these things up here for 2 days. Now, if we take them out there in that rain, they're going to rust up on us.
Boy, don't give me a hard time. Just get off your ass and get out there.
Cowboy guns it, and the truck backs into a pair of barn doors that fly open. Now, as Kelly and the German drink, Job goes to Little Joe, who sits talking into the Jeep's radio.
Sweet job. We're supposed to go out and find someplace, look at it, tell you what the situation is.
Job and Little Joe crouch.
I can tell you what the situation is. It stinks, it's wet, it's cold, and we're under heavy fire. Yes, yes.
He throws down the mic and yanks off his headset.
Are they sending up anything to support us?
They say they haven't got anything. We're going to go home.
You think we ought to pull out?
Huh?
You think we ought to pull out?
Job's eyes shift.
Better wait for Big Joe.
Corporal, those aren't Mulligan's mortars coming down in German 88s. Much as I like Big Joe, I don't want to spend the rest of the war in a prison camp. Beside which, I'm first-generation Italian. They shoot me as a traitor. The indications are the Germans are coming, and we're not going to stop them. So with your permission, I'm going to pull the command vehicle to the other side of the okay?
Yeah, go on.
Job spreads the word.
Get that damn thing out of here. Okay, everybody, we're pulling out on the double.
Cowboy's half-track returns, crashing into a wooden support post.
God damn it, Cowboy!
I don't know what shit you talked about, boy. There ain't three tanks out there. There's about 20 of them out there. Ain't that right, Willie?
Yeah, right. Get that thing to the other side of the canal, you maniac!
Well, that's what we was figured on doing!
Cowboy and Willard ran through two other doors. Little Joe and Joe put up a Jeep's canvas top.
Hey, Kelly, come on, we're going now. You coming, ain't ya?
Go on ahead.
All right, good luck!
As another truck pulls out, breaking through a third set of doors, Little Joe and the corporal follow in their Jeep. In the empty barn, a fat mound of hay sits heaped in a corner, and smoke hangs in the air. Empty barrels and urns lean in a stack against a far wall, and a shaft of light makes a glowing patch on the hay-strewn floor. Nearby, Kelly and the German colonel stay seated at the work table. The German hunches over in his seat, his head lolling forward. Kelly faces him, nonchalantly filing the gray metal bar. He tenses briefly at the shelling and thunder. As a soldier dashes by outside, Kelly puts down the file and looks at the drunk German.
Colonel?
The German's head rests on the table. Kelly pushes him upright with his boot and meets the officer's groggy gaze. He grabs the drunken man by the collar.
How many more bars of gold like this do you have in that convoy?
No, come on.
Speak English. Come on.
Yeah.
How many bars like this in your trunks?
14.
14 what?
1,000.
The German falls forward.
14,000.
Kelly squints and purses his lips. He shoots a glance over his shoulder, then pulls the colonel back up.
Whereabouts is your convoy right now? Where are you?
Claremont.
In Claremont. Claremont. Is the gold still in the trucks?
Kelly shakes the colonel.
29.
Whereabouts is the gold?
The bank. In the bank.
Kelly straightens the colonel up in his seat.
Colonel, wake up. What about support units?
The park.
Yeah, units. Tanks. Come on, tanks.
Kelly jerks the man by the collar.
Tanks! Huh?
Three tiger tanks.
What about infantry? What about infantry, Colonel?
The German slumps over and Kelly lets him drop onto the hay-covered floor. Outside, Big Joe runs past a thicket of tall grass and finds Little Joe in the Jeep. In the darkness behind them, flames rise from several barns. Back with Kelly.
Come on, German. Come on.
He heaves the unconscious German back onto the bench. Outside, Big Joe hurries across a wooden bridge. Fiery explosions pummel the terrain as he runs toward one of the barns. He enters the tall open doors and rushes toward Kelly.
Kelly! Half the German army's coming up the road. In a few minutes, Mulligan's going to drop 10 tons of mortar on this joint. What the hell are you doing here?
I'm looking after the colonel, that's what.
Well, shoot him. Let's get the heart of here.
Shoot him. We don't get the gold.
What gold?
Gold's in a bank 25 miles east of Nancy, that's what.
Mulligan, I said 3 minutes. Come on, let's get out of here.
Kelly and Big Joe drag the colonel to his feet. He stumbles along between them as they head outside. As they cross the open yards, shells explode all around the thatched roof barn. One bomb hits a corner of the building, and the fleeing men drop to the ground. More shells hit, and the barn crumbles in a violent cloud of fire. On the ground, Big Joe reaches over the German officer and grabs Kelly's arm.
You okay, Kelly? I'm
fine. Kelly prompts the German, but Big Joe pulls him away. Kelly grabs the briefcase and the two GIs head over the wooden bridge. Left behind, the German climbs groggily to his feet and totters in the rain. Kelly and Big Joe reach the other end of the bridge and order a few gunmen onward.
Come on, move it! Get in, we're pulling out!
As the platoon prepares to leave, the German colonel staggers across a field next to a burning barn. At a nearby farmhouse, a corner wall cracks and collapses as a German tank plows out into the night air. Sparks fly from it as machine gun fire mows down the German colonel. The officer clutches his chest and falls to the ground. Kelly watches from the platoon convoy. He gets into the Jeep with Big Joe and the others, and they follow a half-track down the dirt road away from the arriving Germans. Daytime. Kelly drives a Jeep through a camp where GIs pile sandbags and lug gear. Brown and green camouflage nets are strung from pole to pole over the camp, and stacks of sandbags line the rocky paths. Kelly parks his Jeep near a crude shed and gets out. He grabs a bottle of liquor and the German colonel's briefcase and approaches a pudgy-faced sergeant. The soldier looks up and nervously holds a hand in front of him.
Wait a minute, will you, Kelly? Will you wait a minute? Wait a minute, Kelly, listen to me a second. It's not me, I tell you. It's not me. I can't tell one shell from another. They all look alike. They all look alike, Kelly. If it was me, if I could tell, would I be here? Would I be here? I wouldn't be here, Kelly. I'd be back in the States, checking out the tents. I'd be there with all those broads. I'd be working at that factory.
Relax, Mullen.
Kelly, wait a minute, will you? I tell you, we've got to have a little understanding around here. How the hell we ever got any understanding around here, Kelly?
Relax. I just want to make a proposition to you.
A proposition?
Kelly nods.
Well, this is 30, but just illegal. Well, I want you to set up a barrage for me. I want you to lay down a barrage for me, Mulligan. Grid section 7, right here at these crossroads.
Yeah, well, I gotta have a signed operations order from the CEO, Kelly. I need an authorization.
I see, that's just the problem, Mulligan. We don't have an authorization.
You don't have a... Well, gee whiz, Kelly, without an authorization, I can't help you.
I told you I had a proposition for you, and that's just what I meant.
He pulls out the gold bar.
Proposition.
Mulligan's eyes fix on the shiny gold. As he grabs it, sunlight reflects off the bar onto his face.
Why?
Why what?
Why not?
You won't forget me now, will you?
No, I won't forget, Kelly.
You're a good man, Mulligan.
As Kelly heads off, Mulligan stares with a vacant smile, transfixed by the gold. Now, 5 planes fly low over the camp, and a convoy of tanks rolls down a road. A group of German prisoners march in the opposite direction with their hands on their heads. On a scrubby hillside next to the road, Big Joe relaxes with his platoon. As Cowboy peers through his rifle scope at the POWs, Big Joe gives him a light kick in the back. On the busy road, Little Joe drives up in a Jeep. He weaves to the side, startling 2 horses pulling a wagon, and parks by a crumbling bunker. Shirtless, he wears an undershirt tied round his brow like a headband. He scrambles up to Big Joe and hands the sergeant a note.
A message from Captain Maitland.
You read it?
Yeah.
What's it say?
He wanted you to read it, Joe.
Take the underwear off your head, huh? Enough is enough.
Little Joe yanks off the headband and slides over to Job.
We've been ordered to pull back.
Huh?
We've been ordered to pull back.
Yeah, I heard.
All right. We've been ordered back to map reference 473, so let's move it.
But my hair is still in
color. Come on, let's move it out.
Big Joe slings his rifle strap over his shoulder and steps down to the road. He looks back at the platoon.
Move him out, will you, Corporal?
The sergeant watches as infantrymen file alongside the moving tank convoy. Kelly approaches in a Jeep and pulls up to him.
Where you been?
Checking a few things out.
Like what?
I'm going after that gold, Joe.
That's right, Joe.
You want in?
I want in.
Now, you let me tell you something, soldier. Let me make it nice and clear for you. I got a job to do, and that's to get you guys to Berlin without getting killed. We've been at the front end of this war all the way.
If you whisper one word about the gold to these guys, I'm going to have you bounce from this outfit so fast your feet won't even touch the ground. Now, do you understand that, Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. You better fix up some transfer papers for me, because I'm going. With you or without you. Okay.
Kelly maneuvers his jeep around a crowd of villagers, then drives off. Big Joe rounds up his platoon and climbs into a jeep beside Little Joe. The platoon members pile into a couple of half-tracks parked behind them. On the countryside beyond, the moving line of tanks and uniformed GIs stretches in a long curve to the horizon. Later, by a country house, Captain Maitland stands atop the yacht, now loaded on a flatbed trailer.
Okay, Sergeant, everything's secure up here. I'm coming down now.
Maitland climbs down to the ground as Big Joe arrives in the jeep with Little Joe and the corporal. The burly sergeant tosses his rifle onto the hood and salutes Maitland as he gets out.
Hi, Captain.
Hey, Sergeant, you think I get the shot to Paris by Sunday?
Hey, you didn't bring me this lousy farmhouse to talk about this lousy boat again, did you, Captain?
Oh, no, Sergeant. I worked out a deal with headquarters. I've got 3 days rest for you and the men. Now, I want you to make sure they have a good time. I got to get the shot to Paris and pick up one or two things for the general.
And where do we spend this vacation?
Right here, Sergeant.
Big Joe's eyes widen. He glances at his men, then stares at Maitland.
Are you kidding?
Well, no, I'm not kidding. With a little imagination, you can fix this place up, lay out a baseball diamond, run the water into the back of the house. Special service is coming by with some magazines and paperbacks.
We're 10 miles from the nearest town. There's no action.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about this location, Sergeant. It's quiet. Get yourself a suntan, a little rest. 3 days, we're back to the line.
Hey, Captain! We're all ready to move out.
Yeah, I'm coming. Go ahead.
Captain, there's no booze, there's no bras, there's no action.
That's another thing. Don't fool around with the women. Their husbands carry guns. And don't forget the penalty for looting is death.
Loot? What? There's nothing here to loot!
I'll be back in 3 days.
Maitland runs after the yacht as a treaded vehicle pulls it away. Big Joe stares after him, then turns to his men. Sweat wrings the armpits of his tank top undershirt.
Get yourself a suntan and get some rest. He's got to be out of his mind.
Yeah, but how does he get away with it? That's what I'd like to know.
Very simple. The general's his uncle, that's how.
Maitland's newly acquired yacht rolls slowly into the distance. Back at the camp, Kelly's jeep pulls past a sign, DIV trains area. He drives by two MPs and heads between net-covered stacks of crates and supplies. Traveling past several parked jeeps and trucks, Kelly stops the jeep, takes the German's briefcase in hand, and heads into a narrow gap in the wall of crates. In the shadowy passage, he rounds a corner past a soldier who carries a case of Dewar's whiskey. Continuing on, Kelly comes to an open-air supply depot, where a sergeant sits at a cluttered desk. Kelly finds the man examining a ring with a jeweler's eyepiece.
Crap game? What do you want?
I'll talk to you for a couple minutes.
The wide-mouthed sergeant looks up.
What about?
I have this deal I've been working on. You might be interested in helping me out.
What kind of deal?
Private deal.
Oh, yeah? Hey, Harry, go get yourself a haircut.
A soldier marking crates leaves.
I hear Maitland's got himself a yacht and taking it to Paris.
That's right.
No money in yachts. What does he want a yacht for?
Who cares, as long as it keeps him out of our hair for a few days.
Okay, Kelly. What is it? What is it you want?
Well, I want 15 Thompsons, 230 caliber machine guns, 2 bazookas, 2 field radios, and enough supplies and ammunition to last a platoon of men in the field for 3 days.
Oh, that all?
Nope. I want the intelligence reports of this whole sector, and I need them in the next 2 hours.
That's nice. What's in it for me?
A piece of the action?
What kind of action?
This kind of action.
Kelly shows a gold bar to the sergeant, and Crap Game's eyes fix on the shiny metal. His mouth lifts into a grin as he handles the bar. Crap Game slides his fingers across its smoothness, sets it on his desk, and picks up the telephone receiver.
Hello, Izzy? Yeah, it's me, it's me. Listen, get me a quotation for gold on the Paris market. Yeah, now, and hurry it up. How much more where this came from?
14,000 bars.
Crap Game gives a bewildered frown.
14,000 bars? 14,000?
Hey, sweetheart. Have yourself a bottle of booze. You're beautiful.
Crap Game weighs the bar on a scale.
Set up Balbo. That's beautiful. Where is it?
In a bank.
In a bank? You're getting pretty ambitious, aren't you? I mean, to think you can blow a bank and get away with it.
It's behind enemy lines.
Behind enemy lines.
Crap Game's mouth spreads into a wide grin.
It could be the perfect crime. Hello? Yeah, here is he. Right. Right, I got you.
Crap Game picks up a pencil and works figures on a piece of paper. Kelly watches.
1.6 million dollars. What else will you need?
You could probably use some armor.
What are you doing up there?
A bearded man lies on a stack of crates.
What the hell's that?
His name's Oddball.
I got three Shermans outside.
Yeah, what outfit?
Right now, I don't have any outfit.
Oddball climbs down, leaving a young woman in the makeshift bed.
Who's your commanding officer?
He got decapitated by an 88 about 6 weeks ago. But I mean, don't say you're sorry. He's been trying to get us killed ever since we landed at Omaha Beach. It's terrible.
He hasn't reported him dead yet. You see, I've been collecting his whiskey.
We see our role as essentially defensive in nature. While our armies are advancing so fast and everyone's knocking themselves out to be heroes, we are holding ourselves in reserve. In case the Krauts mount a counteroffensive which threatens Paris or maybe even New York, then we can move in and stop them. But for $1.6 million, we could become heroes for 3 days.
Kelly squints at Oddball and his longish hair.
A Sherman can give you a very nice edge.
Where are these Shermans?
Outside. Come on, I'll show them to you.
Kelly shoots a glance at Crap Game, then follows Oddball outside. The bearded soldier beams at a group of GIs lounging around a camp set up between two Sherman tanks. A woman hangs laundry from a line strung between the two cannons, and a canopy extends from the side of one tank. Kelly adjusts his helmet as he stares at the band of soldiers. Oddball gives him a sly grin. At a campfire, a GI turns chickens on a spit. Another lies with his head on a woman's stomach and feeds her from his hand.
These are my boys.
Two soldiers slide a ramrod into the cannon of one tank. Another GI fills a pitcher at a keg. While the soldier cooking chickens reads a magazine, the man with the pitcher serves wine. He has a towel draped over his arm. In the shade under the canopy, he fills a glass for a sleeping mustache trooper wearing a red fez. The wine server steps into the sun and fills another GI's cup. Kelly watches through narrowed eyes as the server staggers over to the man at the pit and fills his cup. Nearby, a pig forages in the dirt.
These are your tanks.
Yep. I mean, I don't like the dirt and the rust hanging up. We like to give the impression that we're just out of action, badly in need of a period of rest and reorganization. And that way nobody bugs us. Come on, look at the engine.
Oddball leads Kelly over to a third tank at the edge of the camp. A greasy mechanic stands in the opened-up motor.
This engine's been modified by our mechanical genius here, Moriarty.
Right?
Whatever you say, Dave.
These tanks are faster than any other tanks in the European theater of operations, forwards or backwards. See, man, we like to feel that we can get out of trouble quicker than we got into it.
Kelly's eyes shift.
Any other secret weapons?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you see, all the tanks we come up against are bigger and better than ours. So that all we can hope to do is, like, scare them away, you know? This gun is an ordinary 76 millimeter, but we add this piece of pipe onto it, and the Krauts think, like, maybe it's a 90 millimeter. We got our own ammunition. It's filled with paint. When we fire it, it makes pretty pictures. Scares the hell out of people.
Kelly nods.
We got a loudspeaker here, and when we go into battle, we play music very loud. It kind of calms us down.
Kelly stares at Oddball, then nods pensively. He turns toward the supply area.
Come on inside for a minute.
Oddball trades a glance with Moriarty, then follows. Now, Big Joe paces in front of his lined-up platoon.
If I hear any more threats against Captain Maitland's life, if I hear any more wild talk about going down to headquarters and killing the general, or raping the nurses at the field hospital, I'm going to strangle a guy with my bare hands. You understand that? Now, all good things come to those who wait. We're going to have a lot of fun here. Are we, cowboy?
You can bet your boots on that, partner.
Sergeant, partner?
Right, Sarge.
All right.
Joe?
Yeah.
I think I've got the crabs.
We're going to boil our laundry. We're going to set up a little shower area so we can wash our cute little bodies. Right, Barbara?
Everything.
Shut up! Shave. A little wine, women, and song. A little Chiquita for you, Pachuca, okay? It's going to take a little time to get organized, but I want that farmhouse to look like a nightclub. Little Joe, I want you to set up a bar.
We ain't got no booze.
We ain't got no booze.
Well, we're going to get some booze. Now, I'm going to go down to Battalion, see if I can lay my hands on some dirty movies. And when I come back, I want that farmhouse not only clean, but completely decorated. Do you understand that? All right, Corporal, follow out. Let's get moving.
At the supply tent, Crap Game punches keys on an adding machine.
16 mil.
He calculates again, pulls the machine's arm, and turns to Kelly.
16 mil. Kelly, I think I made a slight mistake. It's not 1.6 million.
It's 16 million bucks. What a bundle.
Yeah.
16.
All right. Well, we're going to need plenty of gasoline on this trip. Think you can handle getting it through enemy lines?
Name the place, baby. Okay.
Kelly studies a map.
Right here. Grid section B, tonight at $2,100.
No good, man. I mean, like, the boys have got something special on tonight.
Are you nuts? What's more important than 16 million bucks?
You come around tonight, Crap Game, and we'll show you.
Okay. Tomorrow night, then, right along this road, same hour.
We'll be there.
If you're late, we move out without you.
If we're late, it's because we're dead.
What about Big Joe?
You handle supplies. I'll take care of Big Joe.
I'm not only going to handle the supplies, kid. I'm going along and protect my investment.
Don't trust me.
I just think a firm financial mind should be behind an enterprise such as this. There could be a bonus. And besides, Switzerland's only 100 miles away. And I don't want anybody getting lost.
Now, look, I don't want half the army in on this deal. Don't want any friends or any friends of friends. I want to keep it a tight little unit. Right, Oddball?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, no sweat, you know.
Kelly faces Crap Game.
I'll pick you up in about an hour. You can hang on that bar of gold as a deposit.
As Kelly goes, Oddball sits on the desk and faces Crap Game.
Who is that guy, Crap Game?
Name's Kelly. Used to be a lieutenant. Pretty good one, too. Till they gave him orders to attack the wrong hill. Wiped out half a company of GIs. Somebody had to get the blame, and he got picked.
Oh, man, I don't like officers.
Neither does he, so relax.
Crap Game laughs along with Oddball, then looks away disturbed. He uses the phone.
Get me Hogan in intelligence.
Oddball picks up the gold bar.
Hey, Crap Game.
Yeah?
You mind I take this bar of gold and show it to the boys?
No, not at all, but just remember where you found it, huh? Bring it back here.
Good boy, Pepkin.
He pats Crap Game's cheek.
Something's wrong with him. Hello, Hogan? It's Crap Game. I got you the scotch and the nylons you wanted. Yeah. Do I ever fail you? You better believe it. Never miss. Listen. I got a little favor to ask of you.
Will you stop crying? I haven't even asked you yet. The hell's the matter with you?
Now, in a jeep, Big Joe returns to the abandoned farmhouse. In the seat next to him, a soldier holds a stack of film cans. Big Joe parks and climbs out, grabbing his rifle. Another jeep is parked nearby, loaded with machine gun rounds and rifles. Big Joe pokes through the ammo, then turns to the soldier in the jeep.
You wait here, Padre.
The sergeant strides over to the house and pushes open the door. Inside, Kelly stands before the members of the platoon, who perch up on the rafters and sit on rubble from a blown-out wall.
I warned you, if you start anything, I'd bust you out, Kelly.
You transfer me, Joe? You have to transfer every man in this outfit.
I told you to lay off these guys.
Take it easy, Joe. Kelly's got the whole thing figured out.
Who invited you, hustler?
Crap game.
He did.
Hey, Joe. It's a snap. $16 million just waiting to be picked up.
Did he forget to tell you it's behind enemy lines?
I told him.
Yeah? Did you tell him how to get through the lines and how to cover to the 30 miles to climb on?
I told him.
Then tell me!
Listen, Joe, Kelly's got it figured pretty good.
Listen, crap, this guy's gonna get you all killed!
We're getting killed now, pal, for $50 a month.
Damn right.
What good is a bonus gonna do for you when you're dead?
The risk is the same one we've been taking since we hit the beaches.
Only then you didn't have a choice. Now you do.
3 days from now, we're going back into the line, Joe. But this time, we're doing it for ourselves.
Kelly's even got us armor support.
What armor?
3 Shermans from the 321st.
Who's in command?
It's a top-line outfit. I personally recommend these guys.
Oh, you butt out, hustler. The only time you come out of the ground is when you smell a profit.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm coming out now, because Kelly's got the perfect caper.
Sure, for you, it's a vacation. 6 days out of 7, you're behind the lines. We're at the broken end of a bottle all the time, so you, butt out! Who's in command?
Guy named Oddball.
Oddball? He's a freak!
He's got 3 Shermans all ready to go.
What kind of a guarantee is that? He's ready to go. He's a nut.
Well, we're all nuts, or we wouldn't be here.
Hey, look. Let me tell you guys something. You know, there's certain rules and regulations governing the fighting of a war. And the first one is that you never stick your neck out for nobody. Unless you're some kind of a hero type. And I haven't seen any hero types around here lately.
Talking's not going to do any good, Joe. These men are all going.
Kelly and Big Joe lock gazes.
And who's going to lead them?
Kelly's stare remains pinned on the sergeant.
If you don't, I will.
Big Joe swallows. Patuco and Cowboy sit motionless, their eyes focused down from the rafters. Little Joe puffs on a cigarette.
Oh, just listen to Kelly for a minute, Joe. He's got it all sewed, man. The route, the timing, the supplies, everything.
Sure.
The sergeant stares at Little Joe, who averts his gaze.
Sure.
Big Joe's dark eyes circle the room, his lips pressed together. He turns around slowly, scanning the platoon. He nods. He looks at Job, who sits with his chin in his hand.
What do you say, Corporal?
Oh, I don't know, Joe. I figure if I gotta go, it might just as well be this trip as the next.
Big Joe exhales cigarette smoke from his lips. He nods and looks at another man.
Penn?
I'm for it.
The sergeant looks up to the rafters. His gaze halts on the stubble-faced Patuco, who nods solemnly. The sergeant returns the nod. Then his gaze shifts one man over.
How about it, Cowboy?
I reckon I'm gonna have to go along with it, Joe.
The sergeant nods again.
They're all for it, Joe.
Big Joe turns his tight-lipped gaze on Kelly.
So what happens when Maitland comes and finds out we're not here?
He'll figure we've been sent right back to the front lines.
Man, he never knows where we are anyway.
The sergeant throws a knowing look at Little Joe. Crap Game stares expectantly at Big Joe, while Kelly matches his cool gaze. Big Joe's eyes shift down in thought, then lift to Kelly.
Okay. Show me what you got.
Kelly smiles faintly, and the platoon gathers around Big Joe. Crap Game throws his hat and slaps his hands together. Nighttime. Kelly walks to a waiting jeep.
Road's about 10 yards beyond those trees. Let me look at that map, will you?
What happens if they put up roadblocks?
Doesn't matter. All that matters is Mulligan being on time.
Mulligan is on time. On time and on target. And he ain't ever been that yet.
Well, it's always the first time. Way I figure it, the town's about a quarter of a mile straight ahead.
What happens if it isn't there?
It better be there. I went through it last night. Only got a few minutes left, so let's get moving. And stick close to me, huh? I don't want to be waiting on anyone.
We'll be there, Kelly.
All right. Move out, cowboy.
He walks off.
Ooh, that nut has got to be nuts.
Kelly climbs into a driver's seat.
Everything all right, Kelly?
Yeah, everything's all right.
You sure you got the time straight with Mulligan?
Yeah, I got the time straight with Mulligan. Whether Mulligan can tell time or not's another question.
Kelly drives a half-track with Crap Game seated next to him and Patuco riding along in the gunner's bed. Behind them, a Jeep and another half-track lurch into motion. A second Jeep brings up the rear. The four vehicles take a winding dirt road through a forested area. Kelly's half-track rolls over a small tree and leads the others onto a wider road. Light from the dashboard shines on Kelly and Crap Game in the front seat. Patuco and another helmeted platoon member jostle behind them. Moonlight glows on the grassy roadside as the motorcade splashes through a patch of mud. Elsewhere, Mulligan lies fast asleep, cuddled up next to a round alarm clock that reads 3 o'clock. With one hand holding his gold bar, he mouths words in his sleep. He lifts the gold bar to his ear like a phone.
Fire!
He puts down the bar and reaches for the real phone.
Fire!
A field soldier receives the call.
Fire!
Sparks flash on a hillside of emplacements, shooting upward as soldiers load their mortars. In the targeted village, German soldiers and trucks snake past the flaming ruins of a building. Shells explode white hot in a nearby field. Across the countryside, bombs explode in smoky bursts of red and white. The flashes silhouette rows of leafless trees and riddle the dark horizon. As the barrage increases, the shells strike closer and closer to the village until the blasts rain down on top of the slow-moving Germans. A cracked wall and chimney topple, and a blast throws a soldier face first into a stone wall. Another sends a fleeing man over the railing of an outdoor staircase. A third blast launches a German from an archway. Meanwhile, Kelly steers through the shellfire. Crap Game glares.
That crazy Mulligan's dropping them all over the place.
Kelly steers toward the village as shells go off left and right. Fleeing German soldiers cross the truck's path, and burning fragments fly into the road. As Kelly's half-track enters the village, three Germans run for cover. One soldier's body lies motionless at the bottom of some stairs. As Kelly and the convoy wind through the village, they pass a burning truck. Kelly squints, steering along the smoky road. Multiple blasts confuse and scatter a group of Germans. One man disappears in the roiling smoke. The convoy keeps moving and streams past a pair of bodies slumped over a low wall. In one of the Jeeps, Big Joe stares as Little Joe sits beside him, ready with his rifle. Patuco and another soldier stay down in the back of Kelly's half-track. The driver of the second Jeep tightly grips the wheel. Kelly maneuvers through a cloud of blue smoke and enters a village square. Dozens of German soldiers scatter as he tears toward them. In the back of the vehicle, Patuco gets to his feet and aims his machine gun. Patuco mows down half a dozen soldiers. In Big Joe's Jeep, Little Joe cringes beside the sergeant, holding a hand over his helmet. Behind them, Cowboy steers the second half-track as two gunmen in the back take down several Germans armed with machine guns. Now, a German recon car rounds a corner and passes in front of Kelly's convoy. It explodes, and the wreckage blocks their path. Kelly's half-track stops, then Big Joe's Jeep stops behind them. Little Joe waves his hands frantically at the sergeant.
Shut up, you pain in the ass!
As Kelly backs up, Patuco stands ready with his machine gun. Little Joe shifts nervously while Big Joe moves slowly in reverse. Kelly leads the convoy around the burning car, slamming into it as they pass. The others follow. Cowboy's half-track shears off a thick signpost at its base. As the vehicles head out of the village, a tall warehouse behind them blows apart, its stone facade folding in jagged slabs. The convoy leaves the village behind. On the muddy road, scattered puddles reflect each brilliant flash of light. The town's bell tower still stands among a few bare trees. Now, a gray-haired general sitting at a desk slams down a framed photo of a German officer.
This man is the man I have on my mind today. And I'll tell you who he is. This is my opposite number, General Bogle, commanding the 2nd German Armored Division. Now, now look at that face. I can read that character. This guy's a loser. Here I'm sitting in his headquarters. I'm drinking his scotch. Hell, I even got one of his broads hanging around here somewhere. The guy's a born loser. But you gentlemen have not buried him yet. And you call yourselves leaders of men?
They're putting up strong resistance, General.
Oh, come on, Roach. I flew over the battlefield this morning where I could march a divisional dress parade with band music right through the middle of their line.
What about our flanks, sir?
All the hell with your flanks, Roach. How many times have I got to tell you? Forget about your flanks, will you?
Sir, there's still a half a panzer division between here and Nancy.
Without gas. Without gas, gentlemen.
Oh, they're getting gas, sir. It's coming up at night.
How?
By truck.
The Air Force has got my orders to blow every bridge in this sector out of existence.
Yes, sir, and they're doing it. And the Germans are rebuilding the bridges every night.
Well, we're supposed to be blowing them up again in the daytime. Captain, get me those aerial photographs.
Right, sir. General, last night someone gave orders to redirect our mortar fire against some damn crossroads.
Listen, Roach, I don't want any excuses out of you, hear me? All I want is to know why this loser of a general is keeping me the hell out of Nancy.
Sir, we haven't got the supplies. It's just a matter of logistics.
Logistics?
Yes, sir.
We got logistics coming out of our ears. What we need is fighting spirit, the will to win. Where are those aerial photographs?
I'm sorry, sir. They don't seem to be here.
They don't what?
I can't locate them, sir.
Hey.
He looks at the general.
Did you lose my aerial photographs?
Meanwhile, at Oddball's camp, black and white aerial photographs lie scattered on a table by bottles of liquor. Oddball studies a photo.
Well, it looks to me like there ain't no bridges.
Still up. What's this here?
Turk, the guy in the fez, shows Oddball a photo.
It's a bridge.
Looks like some kind of railroad bridge, huh?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Moriarty chews some food.
Even if we make that, we still got a river to cross later on. Right over there.
You know, we'll let Kelly worry about that. Right now, our problem is getting through German lines, right?
Right. How?
Well, it's a railroad bridge, ain't it?
Yeah.
Well, and beautiful. We swing down onto the railroad tracks and right over the mother bridge.
Over the mother bridge. Sure.
Suppose the bridge ain't there.
Oh, man. Don't hit me with them negative waves so early in the morning. Think that bridge will be there. Mm-hmm. And it'll be there. It's a mother beautiful bridge. And it's gonna be there.
Moriarty nods at Oddball as he chews.
Okay.
He gives Oddball's shoulder a whack.
Okay, Chief.
Okay.
Oddball scrutinizes Moriarty, then the others.
Odd up.
Now, empty blue sky.
How many, Grace?
Eight.
Sunlight shines on a tree's rough bark.
Ten.
Seven.
The tall trunk leads down to Kelly, sitting at the base. As he looks skyward, Job approaches.
How many, Kelly? Three's fine.
On the hilltop, Job counts out three ammo clips and gives them to Kelly, then carries his canvas pack over to Cowboy, who sits under another tree.
Cowboy?
Oh, about six and a figure about eight loose.
How about you, Willard?
About the same.
As Willard goes back to his harmonica playing, Job drops a few clips on the grass at his feet. Job goes to Gutowski.
How many clips did you use last night?
About eight.
Eight? You're trigger-happy, Gutowski. Here, two more. Take it easy, okay?
Job lightly backhands the GI's shoulder.
Take it easy. Want some K-ration scrap, eh?
No, thanks, kid. Use some water. You got any water?
Crap Game takes his helmet and carries it over to a Jeep, where Little Joe sits behind the wheel. Babra sits in the passenger seat, writing. Crap Game watches.
Hey, be right to you. Mother?
Yeah.
You write often?
Yeah.
Where you from?
Indianapolis.
You miss your mother?
Yeah.
Good talking to you, kid.
Babra keeps riding as Crap Game fills his helmet with water. Nearby, Jonesy finds Kelly dozing and wakes him up.
Hey, Kelly. Kelly. Hmm? Big Joe wants to see you over at the command jeep.
Kelly gets to his feet and tucks his slack shirt into his pants. He walks over to Big Joe's jeep. The sergeant leans over a map laid out on the hood. He takes a drink from a cup.
Something wrong?
Yeah, just a few little things, Kelly. According to this map, we got a river to cross before we get into this town of yours.
Yeah, well, there's a bridge right here, 6 miles out.
There was a bridge. The Air Corps knocked every bridge out of the river months ago.
Intelligence reports have the Air Corps knocking them out by day and the Germans rebuilding them by night. Now, all we have to do is get there tomorrow morning at dawn, and we've got ourselves a bridge.
Oh, how about the German army? Do you think they'd mind us crossing their bridge, Kelly?
Probably.
You know something, Kelly? I think you're crazy. Better yet, I think I'm crazy. How the hell I ever let you talk these guys into this? Push 30 miles behind enemy lines, take a bridge held by Germans, and then go into a town that we don't know how many German soldiers are guarding.
I figure there's between 30 and 40 troops in that town.
All right. How'd you figure that?
Well, it's of no military importance. It's not big enough for a garrison.
You still didn't answer the question, Kelly. How'd you figure 30 or 40 men?
Kelly squints at Big Joe, then curls his lip pensively and directs his gaze downward.
Because that's the normal amount of support for 3 Tiger tanks.
Tigers? Where the hell did Tigers come from?
Well, that's why we have Oddball and his Shermans.
Does he know about the Tigers?
Not yet, no.
You bet your sweet ass he doesn't. Or he'd still be on that funny farm of his. He may be nuts, but he's not crazy enough to put Shermans up against Tigers. You know, once these things get rolling, they're going to blow that whole town to pieces, including us, Kelly.
You're too smart to let that happen, Joe. Oh, wow. You'll figure us a way in and out of that town. Now, I know you got a good head for tactics.
Yeah, and I intend to keep it right here on my shoulders, Kelly. You know, with these Tigers, this operation goes above and beyond the call of duty.
That's right, Joe. 16 million above and beyond.
Hey, look, Kelly. You're pressing these guys' luck, and they only got so much of it left. It's a long, long way to Berlin, and they're going to need every inch of that luck before this cockamamie war is over.
Big Joe eyes an approaching plane.
Cover!
As it swoops toward the platoon, the men drop to the ground. The plane makes a strafing run. Machine gun fire explodes across the dusty hilltop in 2 parallel lines. Crap Game and one of the men dive behind a low stone wall. The plane passes overhead and banks upward. A white star insignia is painted on its wing.
Come on, little double! Let's get the equipment in the truck!
Big Joe and Kelly start to unload weapons and supplies, handing the items off to other platoon members. As Gutowski leaps to help Kelly, Little Joe hurries over to the sergeant. In the cloudless sky, the plane makes a second approach. As the plane dives toward the distant hilltop, Kelly, Cowboy, and Big Joe hustle behind the stone wall and join the rest of the platoon. 2 flaring missiles rocket from the plane's underbelly. The half tracks explode in a churning mass of fire. As the plane soars away, Crap Game springs to his feet.
Hey! Hey!
That idiot's one of ours.
Oh. He eyes one of the burning half tracks. As the wreckage burns, thick smoke fills the air. The platoon members peek over the stone wall. Big Joe stands and puts his hands on his hips.
Oh.
He stares after the plane.
Our hero.
Crap Game shakes his head and loosely shrugs his arms. He climbs over the wall and Jonesy follows. Willard hands Cowboy a machine gun.
Oh, man, this is crazy, isn't it, Willard?
Yeah. Anybody get the number of that plant?
Why? Who are you going to file a complaint with?
Move it out, move it out.
Yeah.
You think we can make it, wise guy?
We can still try.
Well, Outball better show up, Kelly. That's all I got to say. He'd better show up.
Big Joe walks through the smoke.
Hey, move it out.
At a jeep, Little Joe checks under the hood.
All right, how is it?
Shot. There's a hole right through the cylinder.
How about the radio equipment?
Pack radio's okay, but the rest stuff's headed.
All right, pick it up and take it with you.
I got your equipment, Joe.
Bring it.
Little Joe faces Fabra.
I told you. We should have never gone in on this team.
Well, you never told me.
Yes, I did.
One man, Fisher, packs his gear.
this why we pay our taxes to be bombed by our own Air Force?
Damn right.
Hey, Kelly. Kelly! What do we do now?
Pick up our equipment and get out of here before a German patrol comes along.
As Kelly walks off, Crap Game sneers.
Oh, that's great. All right, let's move all that stuff up to the wall on a double.
Patuco runs right up, time. Buttoning his pants.
What happened, Joe? What happened?
Where the hell have you been?
I had to go.
We all have to go. Come on, we got 20 miles to walk and 9 hours to walk, and it's all moving out.
Big Joe, if I got to carry all this equipment and this satchel charge and this 30 caliber machine gun, too?
Give the 30 caliber to the hustler. He wants to be a hero.
Willard smiles, slings his rifle strap over his shoulder, and hands the gun to Crap Game.
Here you are, old buddy.
Thanks. Get yourself a bucket of grits.
Crap Game hoists the bulky metal shaft onto his shoulder and grimaces.
All right, Corporal, let's go. Move him out. Move it out, Penn.
Yeah, move him out.
It's a long way.
Yeah, yeah,
all right, thank you. Move it out. Gotta get on the point.
Crap Game glares at Big Joe.
How come you got me elected to carry this thing?
You wanted into this, hustler? Then you learn to carry your own load. Come on, move it out.
Yeah, rub yours.
Behind him, the wreckage burns. Now, at a busy train depot, workers unload crates as armed German soldiers patrol the top freight cars. A train pulls in. Two Germans chat. Train tracks lead to a tunnel in a nearby hillside. Inside, a Sherman tank edges from darkness toward daylight. Oddball peeks out of the turret's hatch and uses a radio.
Take it easy. Okay, hold it.
Oddball looks down the tunnel. The circular opening lies 100 feet ahead.
Okay, it looks like we got some sort of military installation up ahead, so make it the same deal as before. We're going to a triangular formation. I'll go down the slot. Mo, you get on the right flank. Whiskey, you get on the left flank. Now keep it tight. Don't break it up until I give you the word. Okay, button up and let's go.
As Oddball waves to the others, Turk pulls a second hatch shut, disappearing into the tank. Two of the German gunmen turn as the tank roves out into the daylight. Bullets spray from a machine gun in the front. The cannon fires, and a pile of sandbags explodes, taking out two German soldiers. The tank's mounted machine gun swivels. Inside, Moriarty clenches a cigar in his teeth as he fires the weapon. The shots rip through several Germans, then riddle a nearby building as more soldiers come running out. They crumble in the gunfire. Now the cannon turret rotates and targets a larger building to the right. As a fiery cloud engulfs the structure, the tank's cannon rotates again. A machine gun built into the turret shoots two fleeing Germans, and the cannon destroys a station house at point-blank range. The turret rotates to face the tank's rear, where a second Sherman tank rolls out of the tunnel. Its treads grind over a log-covered path. Under the vehicle's weight, the logs tip and buckle. Gunners in the second tank take aim at the scattering Germans. One soldier drops from a rail car's roof. As another bangs a pipe against short-hanging girders, he gets shot. Oddball's cannon blasts a four-barrel gun emplacement, knocking the weapon crooked and throwing German soldiers into the dust. As the second tank decimates another heavy-gauge gun, Oddball targets a water tower. Its stilts break, and the huge metal cistern topples. Water floods over a soldier's body. Now on a catwalk overlooking the depot, German soldiers run across into a long enclosed building that looks like a covered bridge. One soldier with a machine gun positions himself at a window and fires. Back in one of the tanks, Oddball attacks more targets. A truck, a row of freight cars, and another station house all blow apart. The second tank's cannon destroys another rail car. As strips of wooden siding rain down, the tank's turret rotates. The cannon demolishes a locomotive. Now a dozen German soldiers race down a footpath toward the rail yard. The turret on Oddball's tank turns, aiming the upward-angled cannon to its rear. A shell blows away a chunk of the tunnel's masonry. A second shot obliterates a support under the catwalk overlooking the depot. The walkway snaps in two and collapses. With a parting shot, Oddball's tank pulls forward and rotates its heavy-gauge cannon straight ahead. The other two tanks follow. As all three crawl past the depot's flaming buildings and wreckage, they deliver a couple of more shots. Black smoke rises off the devastated rail yard as the tanks mosey across it. Elsewhere, Willard plays harmonica for Kelly's men, who lounge by a haystack and lie on the grass. As Cowboy cleans his ear with a piece of straw, Willard sings.
Every time I go to town, the boys started kicking my dog around. Makes no difference if he is a hound. You better stop kicking my dog around. Go on, Blue. Good dog, you.
Let's get out of the way, Machuca.
Right, Joe.
Come on. Move him out, Corporal. Let's go, Bobby. Wake up, you bastard. Let's go. Let's go, Dolly. All right, Hustler. Let's go.
Hey, Kelly. This was your idea. How come we don't go back to our own lines?
It's further back to our lines than it is to where we're going.
I know what. Let's surrender. I'm hungry.
All right.
I buy it. I'll make it $50 if you carry the machine gun, huh?
You got it on you?
Don't you trust me?
No, I don't.
What do you think I am, a vault? You think I carry money around on me? I ask you a little favor, and right away you don't want to help me? All I ask you to do is carry the machine gun. I'll give you $100. No, I don't have an army either. What's the...
Now, a binocular's sights frame a view of a steel bridge over a river. The binoculars are oddballs. He gives his men a thumbs up.
It's still up.
As Moriarty laughs, Oddball angles his binoculars skyward. Two planes approach. Explosions go off closer and closer to the bridge. One breaks the structure at its midpoint, and the two halves drop heavily into the water. Oddball lowers the binoculars from his glaring blue eyes.
You see what sending out them negative waves did, Moriarty?
Hey, that ain't my fault, Oddball. I've done nothing but have good thoughts about that damn bridge ever since we left.
What happens now?
It looks like we're gonna find ourselves another bridge.
And where are we gonna come up with another bridge?
There you go, more negative waves. Have a little faith, baby. Have a little faith.
He playfully slaps Moriarty on the cheek.
Now go on, get down into your hole. Move out!
Oddball peeks again through his binoculars, then sinks down into the tank and closes the hatch. Now, on a base, 100 American soldiers march in formation. A pudgy-faced GI at a desk answers the call.
42nd Engineers, Bridging Unit. Corporal Rover speaking.
The corporal listens, then holds the phone aside.
Hey, Sarge! Sergeant!
Hurry, watch my ass.
A thin, balding sergeant leaves a table of men playing cards and takes the phone.
Yeah. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Don't try to be funny, Oddball. What do you want?
I'm telephoning you from, a cafe about 10 miles south of Missouri, and I wondered if you could do me a favor.
Missouri? Sir, I got a map around here someplace because we haven't even captured that place already.
Yes, so I heard. Everybody seems very friendly. Look, baby, I'm kind of hung up. I need about 60 feet of bridge.
How the hell am I supposed to get 60 feet of bridge 10 miles behind the German lines?
Hey, man, I'm about to put you onto something very good, and you are giving me your problems. This sector is so screwed up, nobody knows where the German lines are, where our lines are. I got through with no problem at all. Now, I got a bank back here with $16 million, and it's just waiting to be picked up. You in?
Hey, listen, kid, they haven't got your back in a nut world again, have they?
Hey, Bobby, for crying out loud, that is the lousiest, stinking, most awful, stupid joke, and you're always pulling that stinking, awful, stupid joke. You don't want in this thing, you don't get in this thing. I cut you out everything. I don't need you. 60 feet of bridge I can pick up almost anywhere. Schmuck.
All right. But with three tanks, it's easy. With a 60-foot bridge, it's something else. I need support units, Oddball. I need at least 100 guys. Where do I find 100 men just like that?
He does a double take and faces the marching men outside. Now, Kelly and the platoon cross open countryside. Spread out in a random formation, the men come to a newly plowed field. Kelly walks at the head of the group, his rifle in hand and his thumb tucked in his belt. He squints ahead as the bright sun glares down on the men. Big Joe plods forward, chewing gum. His helmet shades his brow. One soldier's boots take step after step in the reddish dirt. It's Crap Game carrying the machine gun. Sweat beads on Job's face. The corporal licks his lips and gives his rifle's shoulder strap a tug. Another GI trudges along listlessly. His boots tromp heavily across the dirt. The man's body twists through the air and drops. The rest of the platoon hits the dirt. In one corner of the field, a column of smoke hangs over the limp body. Kelly glances around. Petucco gives the sergeant a panicked look.
Joe! Shut up!
We've walked into a minefield.
All right, who bought it?
It's Grace!
Big Joe winces a little.
Joe! I think there's a road right up here at the edge of the field.
All right, Kelly, you mark that spot and you head for the road. Everybody! Take out your bayonets!
And move towards Kelly! Corporal! Move the men down slowly! Mitchell!
Joe!
You pick up Grace's PAR and head this way! Jonesy, for Christ's sake, stand still!
Jonesy freezes on his knees.
Corporal! Go see if Grace is still alive! Jonesy, will you get the helm down?
Still on his knees, Jonesy gazes at his lifeless buddy, then pulls out a bayonet. Carefully, he slides the blade into the dirt in front of him. Up front, Kelly does the same. He keeps his other hand on his rifle, which points to the sky. Kelly's narrowed eyes fix on a low stone wall several yards ahead by the field's grassy edge. He inches forward and resumes checking the ground for mines. At a German post, a soldier hands a phone to a dark-haired officer.
Yeah?
Back in the minefield, Kelly moves closer to the edge as the platoon slowly advances behind him. Each man gently prods the earth directly ahead before proceeding. Kelly rises to his feet. Big Joe watches as Kelly reaches the low wall. The lean-faced GI steps up onto it and scans the countryside. The sun beams down on his netted helmet. He turns to the platoon.
Looks all right up here.
Right! All right, you guys, keep it moving. Stay careful.
On his hands and knees, Big Joe resumes checking for mines.
Hey, I found one!
Crap Game holds his submerged bayonet still.
What kind is it?
The kind that blows up. How the hell do I know what kind it is?
Mark your spot and keep moving, hustler.
Mark it.
Crap Game drives a stick into the ground in front of him. Now Gutowski reaches Kelly's path, stands, and walks toward the edge of the field. His gear throws off his balance, but he recovers. As he reaches the stone wall, Kelly motions with his rifle.
Gutowski, get down there on that bend and keep an eye out.
The beefy guy complies, jogging off. Now, a hand tugs at Grace's dog tags and breaks the chain. It's Job. As he pockets the tags, Mitchell hands over a small notebook. The corporal takes it, then removes some more papers from Grace's chest pocket. Job motions to Mitchell.
Okay, bring the BAR.
At the German post, a Nazi flag ripples in the wind by a watchtower. The dark-haired officer comes down its wooden stairs and strides over to a waiting recon car. He climbs in next to the driver, and they pull forward. Exiting the post, the car and two trucks, each carrying 20 or so German soldiers, roll out onto the dusty road. Now in the minefield, Penn steps carefully along Kelly's path, his gaze glued to his feet. An ammo belt hangs around his neck, and he carries a machine gun on one shoulder. He reaches Kelly at the stone wall.
Penn, get that .30 caliber set up the other side of the wall.
Right.
Now with Crap Game.
Could have been in the States playing ping pong volleyball. Plenty of broads. Who the hell needs all this? Get my knife and get the hell out of here.
He tucks his bayonet behind his belt.
Now I gotta lift up this cannon. Carry it all the way to the front line someplace. Damn thing is heavier than Kelsey's burgers.
He lifts the machine gun onto his shoulder. Now, Big Joe, on his hands and knees, reaches Kelly's path. Taking a deep breath, he gets to his feet and looks at the others lined up behind him.
Move it now.
On a double across the road. Go ahead, Barbara. Stay on Kelly's path all the way. On a double. Come on, hustler. Move it. Move it. It's all safe for you now.
Move it. Move it. Move it. I'll take the gas pipe, Sergeant. You creep.
Stay on Kelly's path all the way, you jerk. Let's go, cowboy. Move it.
Come on, Miller. Let's mount up, boy. Is there anything we can do for you over there, Corporal?
No, thanks, Cowboy. We're all right.
Come on, Willard. Hit it, boy.
Ready?
Crap Game approaches Kelly.
Hey. Hey, Kelly. How do we get talked into this mess?
Took about 10 seconds to talk you into this.
Yeah, sure. But we were supposed to ride, not walk. Nobody said anything about mines, schlepping this 30-caliber machine gun all over the country.
Why don't you quit your bitching and just remember what's at the end of the line?
Kelly! Kelly!
Penn points. On a distant road, the German recon car and two trucks approach.
Hey, Joe, there's a patrol coming in.
All right, Kelly, spread them out across the road. Move it. Your craps will leave you now.
Get that gun set up on the other side of the wall.
As Crap Game hustles toward a distant stone wall, Kelly and Big Joe hang back, waiting for the others.
Move it, Patrol. Move it. Don't forget about the bronze.
As the German patrol rounds a bend, Job and Mitchell still kneel in the minefield near Grace's body. Kelly looks to Big Joe.
Sergeant, get the hell out of there.
Corporal, you'll never make it. We'll cover you from the road. Don't move or let they spot you.
Right. Go on.
As Big Joe leaves, Job turns to Mitchell.
Set up to the air there, Mitchell.
Big Joe jogs past Kelly, and they both head to the far stone wall. Behind it, the rest of the platoon members crouch low and ready their weapons. Big Joe and Kelly jump over a dip in the stonework and join the others.
All right, stay down, load up. Stay down, load up.
Big Joe kneels down between two of his busy men.
Stay down. Stay down, hold your fire.
As a soldier helps Crap Game load the heavy machine gun, Kelly peers over the wall.
Fisher. Grenades.
Fisher tosses Kelly a canvas pack. Meanwhile, the three-car German patrol makes its way along a dirt road. A soldier mans a machine gun on the roof of one of the trucks. In the minefield, Mitchell and Job lie on their stomachs and pile rocks in front of themselves.
Listen, Job, let's get out of here. Let's go back.
Take it easy. It's too late now. We're better off here anyway.
Get your head down.
As they lie low, aiming their rifles, the German patrol moves steadily along. In the recon car, the dark-haired officer jostles in his seat. Big Joe squints as sunlight shines on his sweating face. He watches the patrol pass behind a nearby stand of trees and shrubs. Behind the low wall, the platoon soldiers peek nervously out from under their net-covered helmets. The barrels of their guns poke slightly above the rocks. Big Joe eyes the patrol. Two grenades sit on the wall in front of him.
Nice and easy.
As the patrol passes just downhill of the wall, Crap Game and another soldier watch intently, holding the machine gun ready. Kelly's eyes squint over his scowling mouth. He takes hold of his gun with both hands. The recon car stops between the wall and the minefield. The two trucks slow down. Hidden behind a sapling, Fisher follows the German's movements with his machine gun. Big Joe watches patiently.
Stay down.
Now, standing, the dark-haired German officer looks at the minefield through binoculars. He spots the three soldiers' bodies.
Was ist das was? Herr Feldwebel, nehmen Sie sechs Leute und gehen Sie nachschauen.
Jawohl.
The gunman on the patrol truck aims his machine gun toward the field. Mitchell cocks his rifle. As a German officer orders troops out of the trucks, Crap Game watches Big Joe clutching a grenade. Now with Mitchell and Job.
All right. Get ready.
Seven German soldiers walk toward the field holding rifles. Behind the stone wall, Big Joe pulls the grenade pin.
Hold it. Fire!
The dark-haired officer is hit in the chest and falls to the ground. In the minefield, Mitchell and Job gun down the approaching soldiers. A grenade explodes in the bed of a patrol truck, sending one soldier over the side. Big Joe throws another at the trucks, and the blast sends more bodies crashing down. Now, Crap Game's machine gun takes out the German machine gunner, who falls from his perch. As another German reaches for the gun, Kelly picks him off. Crouching behind the wall, the members of the platoon lay down a relentless salvo. Little Joe hurls a grenade. The explosion throws several Germans asunder and blasts one man to pieces. Kelly mouths the words, "All right, let's go." As he stands, Big Joe shouts an order. The sergeant climbs over the wall, and the platoon charges the remaining German soldiers. Kelly guns down a German at close range. One of the GIs storms through a line of small trees and kicks a German soldier in the face. Using his bayoneted rifle, the American stabs the man. In the minefield, Mitchell's rifle stops firing. Two German soldiers lie on their bellies and fire at Mitchell and Joe. Mitchell's mouth contorts, his helmet falls off, and blood drips down his forehead. He rolls onto his back. Joe gets to his knees and fires his machine gun wildly. As bullets rip through his jacket, he clutches his chest and keels over. Meanwhile, Big Joe races over to a truck, guns down one German at the rear, and then another at the front. Kelly aims over the hood of a truck and picks off the two Germans shooting into the minefield. Big Joe leans, panting, against the rearmost truck. As he steps forward, Little Joe follows. Kelly and the sergeant make eye contact as black smoke billows from one truck's cab. Both men look toward the minefield. As the rest of the GIs fall in behind them, Kelly looks out over the field through binoculars. He spots Mitchell's and Job's bodies lying a few feet from Grace's. Slowly, he brings the binoculars down from his eyes and hands them to Big Joe. Fisher stares ahead sadly and swallows hard. Crapgame, holding a rifle perched on his hip, looks on somberly. Willard turns to Cowboy, who bows his head and rubs his nose and chin. In a distant corner of the newly plowed field, their friends' bodies lie still on the rich brown soil. Kelly turns away and marches past the rest of the solemn men who remain in place.
Let's move it out.
The soldiers' eyes stay fixed on the field.
All right, you heard me. I said move it out.
Fisher steers off, then goes. Little Joe still watches the field.
Maybe they're only wounded.
They're dead, so forget it. Let's move.
Little Joe follows the others. Big Joe lifts the binoculars to his eyes and takes a final look at his fallen men. His view focuses on Job and Mitchell. The men lie side by side in brilliant sunlight. Nighttime. In a rustic barn, Big Joe leans against a pile of logs. He pulls out a crushed pack of Lucky Strikes and sticks a cigarette in his mouth. Nearby, Cowboy and Willard look sadly at each other. Behind them, gaps between the barn's wooden boards show lightning flash outside. Crapgame gets up from his seat and pulls his jacket collar up around his neck. As smoke and cinders drift up from a barrel at the room's center, Crapgame warms his hands by the fire. Kelly's gaze shifts to Big Joe, who lights his cigarette and blows out the match with a puff of smoke. Babra runs in, soaking wet.
Sherman's coming over the hill.
As the platoon rushes for the barn door, Big Joe pushes them back. He looks out into the night and spots three approaching tanks. Oddball stands on top of the lead tank wearing an aviator's leather cap. As rain pours down on him, he glances at Turk.
Go on down and load up.
Turk ducks down into the hatch. Big Joe and Kelly watch nervously from the barn.
Fire!
The cannon fires into the air. Jeeps and trucks in a convoy follow the tanks. Big Joe looks at Kelly.
I thought you said three Sherman. Those nuts have brought half the army with them.
From his perch, Oddball waves on the convoy. He looks down into a hatch and gestures. As Oddball's tank pulls to a stop in front of the barn, Moriarty sticks his head out of a hatch and merrily drums the hull with his hands. In the barn doorway, Crapgame joins Big Joe and Kelly.
Are you ready for this?
Split how many ways, stupid?
They step outside, followed by Cowboy.
Come on, Willard!
Oddball grabs hold of the long cannon and swings from it before jumping down. Crap Game confronts him.
What is this? Huh? What is this, a ball game? Who are these guys?
They're my friends, Crap Game.
Friends? Where'd you find them?
There.
And there's a bunch of refugees over there.
Hey, it's the band.
The band? What are we need a band for?
Have a little faith, Crap Game. They're beautiful people.
Hey, kid, you gotta pull yourself together. We ain't in the middle of Central Park.
Oddball. Just how the hell do you figure on moving through enemy terrain with a column a mile long?
Easy. We can fight. We got an army.
Those freaks? That ain't an army. It's a circus.
Take it easy, Big Joe. Some of these people got something of feeling.
Bellamy pulls up in a Jeep.
Who's the guy in charge?
I am.
What's the deal with the gold?
Any man who gets to the town and hits the bank gets an equal share.
Okay, but don't try to cross us, buddy. There's going to be trouble.
Yeah, well, who's going to make it, boy?
I am.
Well, why don't you get out?
Come on, get easy. You get out of here, huh? Everybody else up on the
come on, let's
okay,
move
okay, but
out.
Don't double-cross us, buddy.
There's going to be any double-cross. It's going to be your fat lip.
Come on,
hey,
get
now,
moving.
Shut up.
Everybody up on that tank. Let's go.
As the Jeep drives off with the rest of the convoy, Crap Game approaches Kelly.
Kelly, we're not going to go with those cowboys, are we?
Look, we've got $16 million up for grabs, and we're not going to let those clods beat us to it. Now, let's get moving.
Yeah.
Kelly hands his backpack to a soldier in the tank, then climbs aboard. The entire platoon sits on the tank in the rain. Oddball, standing on the turret, holds up his arm, and the tank joins the convoy. Behind them, a treaded vehicle tows long metal bridge supports. Morning. General Colt rushes onto an indoor balcony as he throws a red robe over his pajamas.
I say, Booker! Booker!
Yes, sir.
The old man was just on the line. He says I've broken through along an entire front. Why wasn't I told?
Well, I don't know, sir.
You're the communications officer, ain't you? You're supposed to be able to communicate. Who's broken through and how far are they gone?
Well, no one has, sir. It seems as though someone's found a hole in the right flank. They're trying to push elements of the 321st and the 35th into it.
See, Miss Booker? Elements of the 321st and the 35th? I mean, who's pushing them in there and where the hell are they?
Well, I don't know, sir.
I'm coming down there, Booker. What's the sense of having a communications officer who can't communicate?
Captain Maitland passes him on the stairs with an armful of packages.
Good morning, sir. I'm just back from Paris, and I got everything you wanted, sir.
All I want is to know whether we have broken through or whether we haven't.
Well, it's pretty hard to say for certain, sir. Nothing's been confirmed yet. It's just that we've intercepted some signals that suggest some kind of action at a bridge near Clermont.
Is that Clermont, Booker?
Yes.
Now, why in the hell didn't you say so? That's 30 miles beyond their lines. You got them on the radio?
Yes, sir. But it's pretty hard to pick them up clearly, sir, this time in the morning. It's got something to do with the ionosphere.
Well, get the ionosphere the hell off the air and get them on. Or I told you, get out of there.
Colt shoos a soldier away from a radio and sits down.
Now, you're not going to find them easy to follow. They're not using normal procedures. They're using some kind of code.
What kind of code?
Well, there's words like bank heist, crap game, Big Joe, Little Joe.
Maitland looks around self-consciously.
Yes, sir, there, that's it.
Where?
There, right on the front of them, sir. Right. There they are, sir, that's it. Those are the signals we've been picking up just for a couple hours.
Booker, will you shut up and let me try and listen to what you're saying?
Kelly on? Over. Look, over.
Oddball, this is Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, what the hell's going on out there, man?
Pretty well cleared of infantry. What do you hear from those other two tanks? Over.
No chance, man. Oh, they both had it. One of them's in the river and the other one's on the other side burning.
Yeah, I can see it from here. Over.
Kelly looks at the wrecked bridge.
Hey, where's Big Joe?
Over on the other side. You get off the line, I'll try to get in touch with him. Kelly to Big Joe. Over.
Kelly, it's Crap Game. What's happening over there? Over.
What's happening? They're dropping artillery all over the place. That's what's happening. Where's Big Joe? Over.
He's not here. He's pinned down under the bridge. Over.
We'll get him for him.
Colt fiddles with the radio.
Okay. I'm losing them. We just had him in here good a minute ago. I'm doing it, Booker.
A private brings Colt coffee and biscuits.
Hey, what do you want me to do with this?
Get the hell out of here, Bouncer. We got the game on.
Back with the platoon, Big Joe hustles over to a group of his men who are crouched down behind a tank. Shells explode in the nearby river. Big Joe grabs a field radio from Cowboy.
Kelly, this is Big Joe.
Yo,
know it's pretty clear over here, except for the artillery. The bridge is too far gone to get vehicles across. You can bring the men over by foot.
Get them moving. Over.
Okay, I'll send them over in twos and threes. Out. Pachuco, Willett, drop your packs and take the equipment across the bridge.
Oddball's head pokes out of his tank's hatch.
Go away! What a Big Joe say?
Says he's sending him across.
Now, Sergeant Bellamy approaches Big Joe.
What's going on?
We're crossing over.
They're not crossing over without us.
Well, then you grab your trucks and come on up.
That bridge is too badly damaged to hold together.
You want a gun? Fix it.
Half my equipment is jammed up in the rear.
And jam them. We've lost two tanks already, and that's looking around to lose a third. You understand?
Listen, we made a deal.
Not with me. You didn't hear. You talk to Kelly.
He throws a radio handset at Bellamy and walks away.
This is Bellamy for Kelly.
Colt listens Kelly. In.
We can't use the bridge. We can't ford the river. The fence too soft.
So what do we do?
Go.
You've got bridging equipment. Over.
It's a five-hour operation. Can you hold on for 5 hours? Over.
No. Move. On. Oh, no. Move.
Bellamy, we're not going to hold on for 5 minutes. Now you can catch up.
Kelly, we're all in this together. You can't go it alone. Over.
Look, we're not going to wait 5 hours either. If you can't keep up, that's your problem. Now we're pulling out, and we're pushing forward.
Attack!
That's the kind of fighting spirit that I was talking about. Listen to that guy.
If he was a major, he's a colonel.
Hey,
listen, this is the
Gravediggers
Registration Unit. We
got to
stake it as advance, too, you know.
Did you ever hear enthusiasm like that in all your life? Even get with damn Gravediggers. What the hell am I doing here? Panzer, get me my uniform!
Back with the platoon, the guys all pile onto Oddball's tank. Cowboy runs toward them across the river on a narrow pontoon bridge. He carries the field radio. A shell hits the river and muddy water sprays up into the air. Kelly peers into the tank.
Move them out.
The platoon clings to the tank as it slowly makes its way up a steep embankment. Cowboy runs after the vehicle. As he catches up, a few of the guys pull him aboard. In the distance, a smoky ball of fire swells up toward the sky. The tank's treads churn dust into the air and grind steadily up the hill. Thick smoke from a burning car drifts in a breeze off the river. Now, at Colt's headquarters, a private helps the general with his jacket.
Hooker, you just tell General Castle that I want every man in this army on the road within the hour.
Yes, sir.
I'm pushing on to the Rhine.
Sir, Claremont's 30 miles behind enemy lines.
Is that you, Maitland?
Packages hide his face.
Just back from Paris, sir.
You get my vehicle and driver around here. Bonser, you get my box of medals. I'm going to decorate every man in this penetration, whoever they are. They save the reputation of this entire army. You're the guy supposed to be fighting this battle. You don't even know where in the hell it is. Well, I'll tell you where it is. It's 30 miles beyond where you thought it was, Booker. Come on now, let's get this army of mine back in the war.
Now, Oddball's tank heads through a deserted French village. Chickens jump out of the way as it cruises by. The tank follows a dirt road past weathered stone buildings. An old man hobbling along with a cane watches the vehicle leave. Now, crossing open country, Kelly, Crap Game, Turk, and a shirtless Oddball survey the passing terrain. The tank, crowded with platoon members, drives through another village. It rolls past four monks who wear broad-winged headpieces and blue habits. Now, Colt barges out of his commandeered mansion.
Don't you think you ought to wait and let the army get in there ahead of you, sir?
History waits for no man, Jablonski. I've got an appointment with Destiny in Claremont. You take this weapon, Maitland. All right, boy. Take this thing.
General, your medal, sir.
Colt gets in a jeep. A staffer tosses him a small box and the jeep takes off. Now, a village of stone buildings with brown-tiled roofs nestles on a hillside. A narrow street curves down to a town square. Three tanks sit positioned around a village green, each guarded by several soldiers. At one end of the square, an SS officer stands watch in front of a stately edifice. On the building's flat roof, two more men patrol near a third, seated in a chair. Behind the building, a three-story house casts a shadow on some parked trucks. Cowboy looks down on the scene from behind a chipping balustrade. He uses the radio.
Kelly?
Yeah, Cowboy.
Kelly, we're in the bell tower of the church. You can see the whole town from up here almost. There's not much happening, though. I think they're still asleep.
There's three tigers in the square right down below us.
You see anything that looks like it might be a bank?
Yeah, I figure it's got to be this building right over here to the right of us. Can you see it from where you are? They've got two machine guns and some guards stuck up there on the roof.
Kelly looks through binoculars.
I don't think I can see much of the center of town from up here.
He's on a hill with Big Joe and the others.
No, just a lot of rooftops and bombed-out buildings.
His view focuses on the bell tower.
Beside the tanks, can you see anything that looks like it might house support units?
Well, there's a big brown building right behind the bank, with a jeep and two guards and about three trucks. Hold it.
In the bell tower, Gutowski nudges Cowboy, and they watch a soldier walk down an alley.
There's a German officer walking around the bank towards the brown building.
Well, what do you think?
We shouldn't have any trouble unless it's with them tigers. We can take the two machine gunners on top of the roof from here. If you could just keep them guys busy for a while, or maybe we can go down and get a closer look.
Stay there. Keep an eye out, see if you can find out where those troops are housed.
Right.
The men drink coffee.
Well, what do you think, Oddball?
It's a wasted trip, baby. Nobody said nothing about locking horns with no tigers.
Hey, look. You just keep those tigers busy and we'll take care of the rest.
The only way I got to keep them tigers busy is to let them shoot holes in me.
We just want you to keep them interested for a while, that's all.
Oh, man! You guys are crazy! Look, when we was in a Bocage country, we was assaulted by them tigers. You know what I mean by assaulted, huh? Well, I mean assaulted!
Why don't you knock it off with them negative waves? Why don't you dig how beautiful it is out here? Why don't you say something righteous and hopeful for a change?
Crap.
All right, so it's a beautiful day. Now let's get down to cases. The Tiger is an open country tank. We happen to have these in a small town with narrow streets, and we do have the element of surprise.
Yeah. Look, Kelly, a Tiger has only one weak point. That's its ass. You gotta hit it point blank, and you gotta hit it from behind. Now, we do not have the element of surprise. They will hear our Detroit motors long before we ever even get inside that town.
And what if I can show you a way to get into that town so they don't hear you?
Hey, Oddball. This is your hour of glory, and you're checking it out.
To a New Yorker like you, a hero is some type of weird sandwich. Not some nut who takes on three tigers.
Nobody's asking you to be a hero.
No? Then you sit up in that turret, baby.
No, because you're going to be up there, baby. And I'll be right outside showing you which way to go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm crazy. I mean, like, so many positive waves. Maybe we can't lose. You're on.
Kelly raises his eyebrows at Big Joe. The sergeant scratches his bald head. Again, Kelly uses the radio.
You guys got anything?
No, not much. They just keep coming and going from the brown building behind the bank.
Cowboy.
Yeah?
In 20 minutes, I want you to start ringing that bell. And keep ringing as long as you can. Got it?
Right, Kelly.
Gutowski, 5 minutes after that bell starts, you get the guards on top of the bank.
Okay, Kelly.
Gutowski and Cowboy share a worried glance, and Kelly hangs up the mic.
All right, let's move on.
In the town square, a German SS officer approaches one of the Tigers. A tank commander sitting half in the turret salutes by raising his arm diagonally.
Morgen, Oberbefehl.
Morgen, Herr Sturmbannführer.
Haben Sie die Maschinen angelaufen?
Nein, mein Benzin ist zu knapp.
Das weiß ich. Aber es danke, kommt heute zurück mit genug Benzin für uns nach Berlin zu gehen.
Ich hoffe es.
Lassen Sie den Morgen 15 Minuten laufen, dass wir nicht zurück zurückkommen brauchen.
Jawohl, Herr Sturmbannführer.
The commander yells down the hatch.
Die Motoren anlassen!
In the bell tower, Cowboy and Gutowski watch nervously as the Germans start up their tanks. Two SS officers walk the perimeter of the green and inspect the idling Tigers. Each vehicle is camouflaged with leafy branches. Cowboy speaks into his field radio.
Kelly?
He puts down the mic. Crouching low, He peers between the tower's balusters, holding binoculars to his eyes. He spots oddball Sherman tank moving steadily down a grassy hill. Cowboy scoots to the other side of the bell tower and returns his watchful eyes to the town square. All three Tigers remain parked around the green. Cowboy's gaze scans past the large stone bank to the brown building. His roving view stops on a crumbling foundation at the foot of another hill. Several of the platoon members, led by Big Joe, sneak over the rubble and enter the town. Each GI carries his rifle and a gas can the size of a small suitcase. The men make their way past the charred rafters of a bombed-out building. Meanwhile, a thicket of leafy trees falls flat under Oddball's advancing tank. Kelly stands behind Oddball on the turret.
Hold it, hold it!
The tank jerks to a stop. Kelly pulls out a long antenna on a hand radio and lifts the unit to his mouth.
Cowboy?
Yeah, Kelly, where in the heck are you, man?
We're just outside of town. How's it look up there?
Well, partner, it doesn't look too good from here. They've got all those Tigers fired up down there, and it looks like they're getting ready for some heavy-duty action. I think we ought to pull out of here, pal.
No, stay right there. What do you think?
No, man, that's just routine. The Tigers turn their engines over for like 20 minutes every 3-4 hours.
Just routine, cowboy. You stay put.
Routine? Well, I sure hope you're right, Kelly, because our asses are going to be hanging out up here if you ain't, boy, and I'm not kidding you.
Nothing's going to be hanging out. Now, just relax. Out. Sure you're right about those Tigers?
Sure I'm right. Hey, look, you know, if those engines are turning over, we can sneak right off the edge of town. Nobody will hear us, right?
Right.
Shall I move out?
Good man.
Come on!
The tank continues on toward the town through a lush green field. Meanwhile, Big Joe edges along, hugging the side of a building. Patuco and Babra follow a few steps behind him. Each man grips an automatic rifle. As Big Joe reaches the wall's end, he stops and carefully looks around the corner. Crouching low, Big Joe creeps around the corner. He approaches a wooden fence that's about 5 feet tall. He and Patuco squat behind it. Patuco beckons to Babra. Patuco and Babra hang back as Big Joe creeps over to the fence's gate. The sergeant carefully unlatches it. He pushes the gate open a crack, pointing his rifle's muzzle through the narrow gap. He spots a German soldier walking away past a military truck. Slowly, Big Joe closes the gate and looks to Patuco and Babra. Big Joe holds up one finger and points to the fence. He wiggles two fingers upside down like walking legs, then slashes a finger across his throat. Patuco nods. He sets down his rifle and takes an ammo belt off his shoulders. Babra watches tensely. Elsewhere, Little Joe and Fisher duck under a clothesline and make their way down a small hill. At the bottom, they walk past a leashed dog. Little Joe passes a villager who pushes a cart. The soldier holds a finger to his lips. The villager watches as the two GI sneak along the side of a building. He cautiously pushes his cart in the opposite direction. Fisher follows Little Joe closely as they make their way to a wooden door. Little Joe pushes it open and the two disappear down an alley. Elsewhere, Crap Game carries the .30 caliber gun. He and Willard spot the town square through some trees.
Come on.
They hustle over to a gutted building. Black scorch marks streak the walls above blown-out windows. Meanwhile, the Sherman tank plows through a low stone wall. Kelly stands on top of the tank behind Oddball and Turk. The tank halts. Oddball watches Kelly take a few steps.
Stay here. I signal you.
Kelly hops down off the tank carrying a rifle. His steel pot helmet is strapped under his chin. Carefully, he inches his way to the front of the tank. Duffel bags and packs hang from a rope strung around the vehicle. Kelly shoots a quick glance back at the guys, then heads down an alley. He passes a bicycle propped up against a building. Above it, a sign reads Berger. As Oddball watches Kelly go, he steps up out of the turret's hatch, then hops to the ground. Drawing a Luger pistol from his side holster, he cocks it, then steps into position to cover Kelly's back. Kelly squints as he steps down the daylit alley, his rifle butt tucked into his armpit. Back with Crap Game and Willard, the two GIs step through the interior of the scorch-marked building. Charred timbers and lath lie in a tangle on the floor. The soldiers make their way out through a gaping hole in the building's side. Their domed helmets shade their eyes as they pass a vine-covered wall. They stop behind a low sill of masonry. Crap Game sets down the heavy machine gun. Crouching, he motions for Willard to keep quiet. Willard gently lays down the machine gun stand. Now, Kelly slowly walks past broken archways and blackened walls. Holding his assault rifle in one hand, he ascends a set of concrete stairs and peeks inside a rubble-strewn house. He enters cautiously and looks up. Blue sky shows through the rafters. Taking careful steps over pieces of tile, Kelly places a hand on a burned armoire to steady himself. He surveys the room as he walks through. A tattered curtain hangs in a doorless frame. Beside it, an empty china cabinet stands crooked, its glass pane doors cracked. Kelly makes his way to a boarded up window at the far end of the room and bends aside a piece of splintered wood. One of his green eyes pierces through the small opening. A German Tiger idles outside. Kelly's gaze shifts above the tank to the bell tower, then back down to the tank. A black-clad SS soldier climbs out of the hatch and hustles down the front of the vehicle. Kelly adjusts his angle to follow the soldier and spies him approaching a second Tiger. Kelly replaces the large splinter of wood and scans the room with his squinted eyes. Sunlight pours over his face from above. He crosses into an adjacent room, passing through another blown-out wall, and looks left and right. In the belfry, Gutowski points his rifle as Cowboy surveys a tiled roof with the binoculars. On the roof, Jonesy slowly lifts up a 3-foot square panel inset amid the shingles. He peeks inside. Cowboy watches closely through the binoculars as Jonesy climbs in. With his finger on the trigger of the rifle, Jonesy eases onto a ladder in an attic and closes the panel. His rifle strap catches on the top of the ladder. He unhooks it, looks around, and carefully steps down. Reaching the bottom, he holds his gun ready and scans the cluttered floor. Back in the bell tower, Cowboy turns to Gutowski.
I'm mounting up, partner. Now, don't you get lonely up here without me now, here?
Cowboy grins at his buddy, who gives him a nervous, sidelong look. Cowboy squeezes through an opening in the belfry floor. Meanwhile, Kelly walks across a narrow street, looking over his shoulder at the town square. He presses his back close to the wall on the other side. With a sneer, he peeks once more around the corner, then continues on his way. Kelly stops beside another bicycle and looks down a shaded alley. It's the same one he came up. Oddball's distant figure stands at the far end. Now, with Willard and Crap Game. The two GIs listen as they sit against the low sill. Crap Game gets up slowly and peers over. He looks beyond their machine gun, which is set up and loaded. Two SS officers exit the nearby brown building. Each man wears a pair of lightning bolt pins on his right lapel and the death's head insignia on his black banded cap. As the SS officers walk through a courtyard, he watches them from the belfry through his gun scope. He lines them up in the crosshairs. The Germans disappear behind the bank. Gutowski's view moves to the bank's roof, where a guard patrols. Gutowski centers the guard in the crosshairs. His rifle's muzzle points downward, angled through the balusters. Relaxing, Gutowski lowers his rifle, but keeps an eye on the roof. 100 feet below, Cowboy hustles through a gate and stands by two long ropes that hang down the length of the bell tower. He quickly surveys the area, then grabs hold of the ropes, one in each hand. The ropes twist around each other a little as he stares up to the belfry. Now, Jonesy sits in the dim attic. He pulls a detonation cable out of his pack, takes a deep breath, and hooks his middle finger around the safety ring. Behind the wooden gate, Big Joe and Babra crouch with their guns ready. Back at the foot of the bell tower, Cowboy glances over his shoulder, then up toward the belfry. He checks his watch and yanks on the ropes. In the tower, a large bell sways above Gutowski, who smiles. In the square, the two SS officers look upward. The younger soldier shrugs. In the adjacent alley, Kelly signals Oddball, who goes to his tank.
Let's go, switch it on and move it up.
He climbs onto the tank and sits half in the turret as they move down the alley toward Kelly. Turk's head and shoulders stick out of a second hatch. He positions the top-mounted machine gun. Now, a German soldier wearing a flared brim helmet walks behind two open bed trucks. As he steps out of sight, Petucco jumps down from a high stone wall and lands near the vehicles. The GI pulls a knife from a sheath at his side and creeps behind one of the trucks. He squats down and looks under the chassis. The soldier's leather boots patrol closer and closer. As the German's feet reach the rear of the vehicle, Petucco's boots spring forward. The German's rifle falls to the dirt, and his feet lift inches off the ground. Petucco drops the dead soldier. Now, Oddball's tank cruises down the alley and whacks a small sign hanging on a bracket. Kelly raises a hand.
Hold it! Hold it!
Oddball smiles at Kelly through his thick beard. Kelly rolls his eyes to himself, then climbs aboard.
Give me that hand radio.
Oddball gives him the radio, which looks like an oversized walkie-talkie. Kelly pulls out its long antenna and holds it to his mouth.
Gutowski! Gutowski!
In the belfry, Gutowski's radio sits between two balusters. A few feet away, Gutowski aims his rifle.
Don't make it so damn much noise, he can't hear what we're saying.
I thought that was what you wanted.
So the Germans can't hear us. Move them out, slow.
The tank rolls down the alley. Back by the open bed trucks, Big Joe and Babra join Petucco. All three press their backs against one truck, their rifles held ready. Inside the attic, Jonesy pulls out the detonation cable's safety ring and carefully sets a pack on the floor. He hustles over to the wooden ladder, climbs to the ceiling, and pushes open the square panel. Outside, Crap Game and Willard point the machine gun toward the brown building. Jonesy emerges on its roof. Crouching low, he steps across the rounded clay shingles. The GI nods down toward Crap Game and Willard, then makes his way to a chimney, now with Big Joe. He rushes forward, followed by Petucco and Babra. Big Joe and Babra kneel behind a brick wall. Petucco sidesteps along a house and backs through its red door. Big Joe watches him close the door, then places a grenade on the brick wall. At the house, two red shutters swing open to reveal Petucco aiming his machine gun. He peers down the barrel. Now the Sherman tank reaches the broken archways that Kelly scouted earlier. The tank halts in front of the archways, which are part of a building's foundation. Kelly hops down to the ground and slowly backs up into a wide gap between two crumbling walls. He waves the tank forward with his hands. As the vehicle crawls into the shady nook, Kelly directs it by pointing his thumb to the left. He steps backward under a crooked beam and walks up a wooden staircase. Kelly points the tank toward the far end of the nook, where a moldering wall blocks the view of the space beyond. As Oddball holsters his pistol, the tank knocks into the crooked beam. It falls on the stairs behind Kelly and jostles them.
Hold it!
The tank lurches to a stop. As Kelly tries to pull the deadbolt on a wooden shutter, Oddball shimmies down the tank's long cannon. The muzzle is pressed right up to a small window. Oddball peeks through one of the panes. The reflection of a German Tiger shows in the broken glass beside his face. A German soldier sits on the turret. Oddball looks at Kelly.
Mark 6. Got it by the ass.
Meanwhile, Cowboy continues yanking on the bell's ropes. High above him in the belfry, Gutowski takes aim at one of the rooftop guards. In the town square below, an SS officer checks his watch and lifts a silver whistle to his lips.
What's going on, Steve?
Back with Kelly, Oddball waits in the turret hatch, listening. Kelly peeks through the shutters. Now, sweat glistens on Gutowski's forehead as he stares through his scope. The German soldier in his sights turns. His heart lies dead center in the crosshairs. He collapses. As Gutowski continues firing, Kelly guns down the two officers in the square. The Sherman's cannon takes out a Tiger. Kelly shoots a soldier standing up in one of the other tanks. In a bedroom, Fisher shoots a rifle grenade into the adjacent brown building. The explosion wakes a sleeping couple. Standing near Fisher, Little Joe aims at the window and shoots a German who's come out through some French doors. Now, as Crab Game and Willard fire on a terrace where soldiers exit the brown building, Kelly downs a German soldier running across the square. Another German pops up from a Tiger's hatch. Gutowski shoots him from the belfry. On the bank roof, two Germans and a machine gun take aim at Kelly. Kelly closes the shutters and ducks as bullets pulverize the plaster wall. Gutowski fires on the machine gunners. Each man drops with one bullet. Meanwhile, Crap Game readies the .30 caliber and resumes spraying bullets at the nearby terrace, where more soldiers drop. Now, Big Joe springs up as three German soldiers stream out of a side door. Smoking shells fly from his gun as he eliminates all three. Now others exit from yet another side door. Petucco fires at their backs through the red shuttered window. As he pauses to change the magazine, two more Germans step out and fire at him. Behind him, bullets shatter items in a pale blue china cabinet. Petucco resumes firing. Smoke clears and a body drops to the ground. Now Big Joe turns to Babra. Big Joe follows Babra into the house where Petucco is. As he backs in, he takes down one last German soldier. Meanwhile, Willard feeds an ammo belt through the .30 caliber as Crap Game blasts a line of holes across the brown building. In the attic, Jonesy's pack sits on the floor filled with explosives. Fire fills the room. Crap Game and Willard duck behind a small wooden outhouse. Fire engulfs the brown building. The shockwave knocks the outhouse on top of them. As flames rage upward, the brown building's roof caves in. Now with Kelly.
All right, get out of here.
Kelly climbs onto the tank as it backs out of its hiding place. Meanwhile, a Tiger in the town square turns around. It blasts a hole in the facade where Oddball's cannon shot originated. As the Tiger pushes through the stone building, the wall crumbles around it. On the other side, the Sherman rolls out of view just as the Tiger fires. As the shell from the Tiger explodes in a distant field, the Sherman rolls ahead with Kelly crouched beside the turret and Oddball sticking his head out of a hatch. The Sherman tank comes to a stop before a tall hedge. Now, the Tiger slowly backs up from the crumbled facade. As it turns, dust shakes off of its dirt-laden treads and wheels. The numbers 113 are painted in red on the side of its turret. As the German tank starts down the village's main road, the damaged Tiger left behind explodes in a ball of fire. Elsewhere, a toilet seat lies on top of a debris pile.
Crap Game.
Another explosion erupts from the destroyed brown building.
Yeah.
Crap Game emerges from under the debris pile. As Willard pushes away a few planks, Crap Game tosses aside the toilet seat. As dust settles around them, the two GIs stand and look down at their soiled uniforms. Crap Game feebly tries to wipe off his jacket, then looks to Willard with disgust. Now, Big Joe exits the red shuttered house and directs Petucco to move forward.
Over there.
He grabs Babra.
Come on, you idiot.
They hustle over to a wooden gate and step through. Now, Crap Game approaches Cowboy, who yanks energetically on the bell tower ropes.
Cockamamie bells.
Now, look, Kelly told me to ring these bells.
I know what he told you, but they know we're here already, so knock it off.
God almighty. You guys smell like you fell into a dung heap.
Kind of makes you homesick, don't it?
Willard nods at Cowboy.
You know, it does kind of, don't it, old buddy?
Yeah.
Cowboy follows them. Meanwhile, Big Joe holds a hand grenade in front of Babra as they lean against a wall.
Pull it.
Babra's eyes dart from Big Joe to the grenade. He pulls out the pin. Big Joe lobs it over the wall at the stopped Tiger. He jumps out from his hiding spot and fires on the tank with his machine gun. The grenade explodes on the ground next to the vehicle, and the tank rotates its cannon in Big Joe's direction. As the two GIs run away, the tank blasts a hole in the wall and crawls after them. Now, Kelly watches as the Tiger makes its way down a dusty street. He nudges Oddball.
Let's go. All right, move on.
Kelly holds onto the Sherman's mounted machine gun as the tank plows through two stone walls. In front of the tank, a small black convertible sits parked next to a low wrought iron fence. The tank rolls over the fence and car, crushing them flat. The Sherman comes to a stop on the dusty street, and the guys spot the Tiger's rear as it rolls slowly away from them. The German tank barely fits between the walls on each side of the street. Red paint splatters the back end of the Tiger. Kelly grits his teeth.
That's paint.
Pull up!
The Tiger's turret slowly rotates. About 90 degrees into the turn, the long cannon bumps into a stone wall, then rotates in the other direction. This time, a tree blocks it from turning. A German soldier pops up from a hatch to investigate. Kelly fires at him with the Sherman's top-mounted machine gun. The German falls over as smoke billows up from the tank.
Okay, fire!
The Tiger explodes. Elsewhere, Crap Game peers around a corner of a building, waves, and steps forward. Willard and Cowboy follow. The three men jog across the town square to the bank. Crap Game and Willard press up against a wall. Cowboy stands under an archway and looks around a pillar. Willard points to a barred window, and Crap Game peeks inside. The three soldiers hold their rifles ready as they lightfoot it to the front doors. Crap Game and Willard both bang the double doors with the butts of their rifles. The doors don't budge.
We'll need some explosives to get these open. This place is built like Fort Knox. Cowboy, check around and see if there's a back door.
Cowboy takes off, disappearing around a corner. Crap Game and Willard peer through the bars on another window.
Can you see anything?
There's a big lump in the middle of the floor.
There's a Tiger coming down the street!
Cowboy returns at a sprint, and all three take off. As the third Tiger rolls into the town square, the GIs dash into a nearby building. The tank fires. An archway blows apart, and pieces of concrete fall onto Crap Game, knocking him down.
Cowboy! Come here!
Willard and Cowboy rush over to Crap Game's limp body and drag him out of the smoke and dust.
Get over his arms.
Take it easy, boy. Easy does it.
Don't tell me to take it easy. You take it easy.
They lift him over a low wall of sandbags. Now the Tiger turns sharply around one corner of the square, then does a quick 180, gliding on its treads and churning up thick dust. The tank lurches to a halt, and the gun turret swivels around. The cannon points at a building beside the one where the GIs are hiding. The Tiger fires. Smoke and debris fill the air. The tank's mounted machine gun shoots out the windows of a cafe bar. The cannon rotates and aims at a sign over the establishment's door. The whole roof explodes in a fireball. The cannon targets a nearby building with a cupola. The shell explodes in front of it. Now, Big Joe, Babra, and Fisher approach Oddball. They find him sitting with Turk at a table that's set with a bottle of wine and a plate of cheese.
Hi, man.
What are you doing?
I'm drinking wine and eating cheese and catching some rays, you know.
What's happening?
Well, the tank's broken and they're trying to fix it.
Then why the hell aren't you up there helping them?
Oh, man. I only ride them. I don't know what makes them work.
Big Joe stares. He walks away.
Definitely an antisocial type. That's my other dog imitation.
Meanwhile, Willard and Cowboy tend to Crap Game's bloody leg. Willard picks out pieces of grit as Cowboy dusts sulfa powder on the wound. Big Joe approaches.
Where'd he get it?
Well, he got it right here in the leg. Anything else?
What do you mean, anything else? Ain't that enough for you?
How do you feel, Hessler?
Great. Since when did you ever give a damn how I felt?
Big Joe's faint smile fades.
Okay, wise guy, forget it.
He turns away.
Hey, Joe! Yeah.
Come here.
Big Joe saunters back and leans in close to Crap Game.
What do you want?
How are things going with the bank?
Nothing. The chairman's broken down and nobody's going to move that tiger out of the square.
To make a deal.
What kind of a deal?
A deal. Maybe the guy's a Republican. Business is business. Right?
Crap Game grins. Big Joe nods at him.
Okay, big mouth.
Now back at the river, Bellamy's men build a bridge.
Come on, Jonesy, get it going. Hey, let's go. Come on. Get that done, man. Come on, let's go.
A corporal walks the bridge.
Come on, let's
on his shoulder patch, the letter T is stitched under a double-barred chevron.
What? Yes, please.
As Bellamy stands up, holding a clipboard, General Colt arrives in his jeep. Bellamy salutes.
Where are you from, Sergeant?
Jersey City.
Captain Maitland looks at Bellamy.
Stand up straight when the general speaks to you.
Well, now, don't you feel bad about it. You're a hell of a soldier, and I just want to shake your hand. All America's real proud of you today. All right, come on.
The jeep crosses the bridge.
I got a medal here in the jeep for you.
Bellamy glares after them.
$16 million shot.
Now with Moriarty.
It's shot, Kelly.
Well, maybe we can use the fuel pump from that tanker.
No. It won't work on this motor.
Mechanical genius.
Oh, man. Oddball, look, I can't make it work without the parts, no matter how positive I think.
Hey, look, Kelly, this guy in the tiger, the least we can do is get him on the radio and talk to him.
You crazy? The guy's got to be a full fanatic freak, otherwise he would have split out of this town 20 minutes ago.
Hey, all this guy is doing is guarding the bank like he was told.
Yeah, maybe. But I wonder if he knows what's in it.
In the dusty town square, Kelly faces the motionless tiger. His finger is curled around the trigger of his gun, which glints black and steely in the afternoon light. Big Joe steps up to his left side. Big Joe looks over at Kelly, then cocks his rifle. He stares straight ahead at the German tank. Smoke rises from a disabled tiger nearby and other burning debris in the square. Now, Oddball steps into the alley, joining Kelly from the right. The stern-faced trio focuses straight ahead on the tiger. Oddball's gloved hand reaches down and swings the stock of his Luger out to the side. His hand hovers by it, fingers flexing. Oddball gives his cohorts a sidelong look, then smirks at the distant tiger. The three men start to walk. Their steps are confident and deliberate. Their eyes stay pinned to the tank. A small rectangular panel in the tiger's hull slides down, and two blue eyes peer out at the approaching Americans. The three GIs continue to move closer with their slow, purposeful gait. The tank's mounted machine gun turns and aims at the men, who continue their approach side by side. Dirty leather boots step in unison as they make their way down the debris-strewn road. The tiger's cannon turret starts to rotate. Oddball glances at the others. Kelly's lips tighten as the men walk closer. The tank's cannon swivels toward them. Big Joe blinks as the muzzle swings in their direction. Behind the tiger, the roof of the cafe bar burns steadily. As the soldiers close the distance between themselves and the tank, the cannon lowers to their level. The GIs stop 10 feet from the tiger and wait. Sweat glistens on Big Joe's cheek as the three men squint up at the vehicle. A hatch on the tiger flips open, and a blonde, black-uniformed tank commander climbs out. Oddball's gaze flits to Kelly. He then rolls his eyes in a merry smirk. The German steps out of the hatch and stands firmly on the turret facing the Americans. As Kelly watches, the German hops down from the turret to the steel body. Big Joe and Kelly eye the man as he slowly hops onto a lower ledge of the tank's armored housing. Reaching the ground, the German steps forward and looks at the Americans through narrowed eyes. His lapels bear the silver lightning bolt pins of the SS, and a scar marks one of his wide cheeks. Oddball Kelly and Big Joe casually approach. Big Joe grins.
Cigarette?
No smoke. The fuel system is rotten. We have gasoline all over the place.
Big Joe puts the cigarette between his own lips.
Sorry. Hey, look, Max, you and us, we're just soldiers, right? We don't even know what this war's all about. All we do is we fight and we die, and for what? We don't get anything out of it. In about a half an hour, the whole American army's going to be coming down that road. Why don't you do yourself a great big fat favor, huh? And get the hell out of here.
I have orders. This bank isn't to fall into the hands of the American army.
Sergeant, this bank's not going to fall in the hands of the American army. It's going to fall in our hands. You see, we're just a private enterprise operation.
You, the American army.
No, baby, we ain't. You know what's inside that bank, man? There's $16 million worth of gold in that bank, sweetheart.
The German's eyes widen and Oddball nods. As the German studies Oddball, Big Joe rests his hand on the muzzle of the Tiger's cannon.
That's about 65 million marks.
And Sergeant, all you have to do to have an equal share of this money is crank this turret around and blow a hole in that door.
The GI smile at the soldier, who scans each of their faces with his narrow eyes. Now, the front doors of the bank blow apart. Orange flames rise from the bottom of a giant hole in the middle of the bank doors. As smoke from the explosion clears, Kelly, Oddball, and Big Joe step up to the bank, followed by the German. Other platoon members join them. As the group enters the building, Cowboy and some more guys enter from a side door. They all gather around a huge pile in the middle of the floor, covered by a tarp. The canvas is dusted with pebbles and shards of glass. Kelly looks at Big Joe, who returns the gaze. Little Joe and Dabra watch as Kelly turns his head to the right. Penn, Jonesy, Fisher, and Cowboy all stand anxiously by. Oddball looks on with Moriarty, Turk, and Patuco. Kelly swiftly pulls back a corner of the tarp. The soldiers stare down at a plain wooden crate. A cigar protrudes from Moriarty's mouth. Dabra licks his lips. Kelly lifts the 18-inch box off the pile and overturns it as he lets go. The box breaks open, revealing lustrous bars of gold. Outside, cymbals crash together. Oddball flashes a smile. Light reflected from the gold shines in the German's wide eyes. Moriarty takes his cigar out of his mouth. Cowboy gapes. Fisher's shocked face relaxes into a smile. Jonesy points, his lips trembling. A piece of straw jets from Penn's open mouth. Outside, a horn player blows into his instrument. In the bank, Kelly picks up a gold bar, which gives off a dazzling glare. Oddball smiles. As villagers outside toss streamers, the soldiers grab up the gold. Kelly, the German, and Big Joe grin at bars in their hands. As Oddball kisses his bar, a Frenchman lifts a beer to his lips. Little Joe smiles. A celebrating man drinks from a bottle. A young woman waves a small American flag. Wine drips down an old man's chin as he drinks. A French mayor makes a speech. Big Joe, Turk, and Patuco break out into laughter. Outside, the square is packed with hundreds of townspeople. They wave French and American flags and banners that read Liberation and Vive de Gaulle. Inside the bank, the soldiers pull wildly at the canvas tarp. They tear a large hole in it, revealing dozens of small crates. Patuco climbs onto the pile and pulls at the canvas. Slowly, our view fades to the bell of a brass instrument. Couples dance in front of the band. The musicians wear sky blue uniforms. The French mayor still tries to make a speech. A garland of small French flags decorates a well in the middle of the square. Several children sit on top of one of the tigers, waving their own flags. As the hundreds of townspeople celebrate, the platoon members load the boxes of gold into an open bed truck parked directly in front of the bank. Inside, Kelly and Cowboy hand a box to Patuka. As he rushes out, Little Joe rushes in for another box.
Come on, Little Joe! What are you gonna do with yours, Kelly?
Get me a new Hudson with an electric shift.
I'm gonna get me a ranch in Texas with about 10, 20, 35 women. Let it go.
Little Joe stops Babber on his way to the truck.
I told you it worked. I told you.
Why? You never told me. You never told me.
Come on, Babber. Keep it moving.
Babber, Joe.
What Cadillac coming up, Willard?
Come on, get the pickup truck.
Crap Game sits in the back of the truck. Oddball startles him.
Okay, Crap Game, we got our cut and we're moving out.
Right. Take it easy, kid.
See ya, Big Joe.
Okay, stay lucky, you nut.
See you, babe.
As Oddball skips away wearing a German's black leather overcoat, Katuko lifts a box into the truck. The German approaches Kelly wearing Oddball's jacket.
We have smart car full. We go now.
Yeah, well, you take care of yourself now.
Thank you.
The German salutes Kelly by raising his arm out in front of him. As Kelly glares, the German smiles, then salutes by touching his hand to his forehead. Kelly nonchalantly salutes back.
Auf Wiedersehen.
The dazed German leaves. Now with Oddball. He looks around the town with a satisfied smile, perched on top of the tiger. Turk sticks his head out from a hatch beside Oddball, and Moriarty stands on the outside of the tank, wearing a Nazi garrison cap and jacket.
Eh? See? What did I tell you, huh?
Now look, the trade for the uniforms I can understand, but to buy this tank, you gotta be crazy.
Come on, a beautiful tank.
It's a piece of junk. The fuel system leaks all over the place. It's a piece of junk.
Always with the negative wave, Moriarty. Always with the negative wave.
Moriarty gnashes his cigar in his teeth. Oddball spreads his arms out wide and leans back against the open hatch as the tank rolls out of the square. The townspeople make way and wave to the soldiers as it passes. As they follow Oddball swinging flags, Gutowski runs through the crowd toward the truck.
General, he's on the edge of town right this minute.
Okay, Gutowski, you go help him with the gold.
Crap Game looks up from a clipboard.
Hey, Fisher.
Yeah, what do you want?
Listen, after splitting with Oddball and the Germans, we should have 125 boxes left at $8,400 a box. That's how much?
$10,500,000.
Correct. Split 12 ways.
$875,000 each.
Very good, Fish. You win a cookie.
Thanks.
Now, Big Joe makes his way through the crowd. One woman pats him on the shoulder. Another woman in a kerchief kisses him. As Big Joe reaches the mayor, the official hugs him.
I just wanted to know that. Appreciate it very much, all of us. Yeah, and we, the general's coming. Eisenhower, that's right.
The mayor continues to hug him and kiss his cheeks. A woman drapes a necklace made of flowers around Big Joe's neck.
The General De Gaulle is coming right now.
The mayor gapes. The mayor rushes off and the crowd follows him. They stream from the town square into a narrow side street where General Colt and Captain Maitland arrive. The townspeople surround the jeep and toss confetti. Colt grins with a cigar clenched between his teeth. As he waves, Big Joe runs back to the truck.
All right, keep it moving. Kelly, come on. Kelly, move it. The cavalry's coming down the road.
It's a hand.
Big Joe helps carry the last few boxes out of the bank. Meanwhile, on the side street, Colt's jeep stops.
What the hell are they saying, Maiden?
They seem to think you're De Gaulle.
De Gaulle? You ain't even in this
Colt. Colt stands up in the jeep. He raises his arms and makes a V with his fingers. The crowd floods the side street, blocking the jeep in on all sides. Meanwhile, Kelly drives off in the truck, carrying the happy platoon and their cargo of gold. The truck pulls toward the clear end of the town square, leaving Colt and the teeming crowd behind. In the square, makeshift rotisseries stand over small fires, and a huge American flag hangs on the side of a building. On the crowded side street, the French mayor grabs the general, hugs him tightly, and pats him vigorously on the back. As the general continues to wave to the cheering crowd, the villagers flutter long strings of confetti in the air. Now Maitland steps off the jeep. As he works his way through the exuberant townspeople, they pat him on the back. Back at the jeep, Colt looks queasily at the impassioned mayor, who squeezes him in another embrace. The general gently pushes the mayor off him, grins broadly at the crowd, and waves. Meanwhile, Maitland walks curiously up the steps to the bank and eyes the blown-in doors. He peers inside. The captain steps further into the bank and surveys the empty room. As he looks around, he spots graffiti on the far wall. It's a drawing of two hands and a face with a long nose peeking over a wall. The name Kilroy is written next to the face, and scrawled underneath are the words, "Up yours, baby." Maitland sneers at it.
Friends all tried to warn me, but I held my head up high.
Now the German truck carrying the platoon rolls toward a dazzling orange sunset. The light silhouettes the open bed and the relaxing soldiers inside it. An oval-shaped picture of Kelly appears along with credits. Clint Eastwood is Kelly. Other cameos appear. Telly Savalas as Big Joe. Don Rickles as Crap Game. Carol O'Connor as General Colt. Donald Sutherland as Oddball. Gavin McLeod is Moriarty, and Hal Buckley is Maitland. More pictures appear. Stuart Margolin as Little Joe. Jeff Morris as Cowboy. Richard Davalos as Gutowski. Perry Lopez as Patuco. Tom Troop as Job. Dean Stanton as Willard. Dick Balduzzi as Fisher. Gene Collins as Babra. Len Lesser as Bellamy. David Hurst as Colonel Dunkopf. Fred Perlman as Mitchell. Michael Clark as Grace. George Fargo as Penn. Dee Pollock as Jonesy. George Savalas as Mulligan. John Heller as German Lieutenant. Shepard Sanders as Turk. Carl Otto Alberti as German Tank Commander. Credits roll. Sunshine, sung by Hank Williams Jr. Burning Bridges, sung by the Mike Curb Congregation. Lyrics by Mike Curb. Music by Lalo Schifrin. Si Tu Me Dis, Living for You, sung by Monique Aldebert. Lyrics by Gene Lees. Music by Lalo Schifrin. Ross Elliott as Booker. Phil Adams as Third Tank Commander. Hugo de Vernier as French Mayor. Frank J. Garlotta as Tanker. Harry Goins as Supply Sergeant. David Gross as German Captain. Sandy Kevin as Second Tank Commander. James McHale as Guest. Robert McNamara as Roach. Reed Morgan as U.S. Lieutenant. Tom Signorelli as Bonzer. Donald Waugh as Roamer. Vincent Maricecki as Old Man in Town. Kelly's Heroes, The End. Presented by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.